listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Open up, and let the funk flow in from this nigga named Jay and his newfound friend. I'm hitting switches like Eric on the solo creep for your Jeep. It's the BRAT, putting a dip in your hip from right to left. It's that ghetto ass bitch, and I'm so, so deaf.
Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we are in the house on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
A Walking Dead Wednesday.
Yes.
And it's a very special Wednesday.
It is.
For a lot of reasons. Okay. One of them being, of course, you know, the OJ series continues to be great.
It is greatness. That juice.
Comedically. For the first time ever, got to see my nephew.
Yes.
Brand new into this world. Shout out to Sebastian.
Yes, he was born.
Aww, I saw that on your Twitter that your nephew was born yesterday or something.
Yeah, yes. He was born yesterday. Big died today. So as far as I'm concerned, the greatest rapper ever was reincarnated.
There you go.
He gonna be doing the 10 milk commandments, you know. we about to get it in. And then of course, it's extra, extra special because as you guys can hear, for the second time ever
mm-hmm.
on the Blackout Tips, we have Roberta Tubbs from the Cleveland Show.
Hey, now.
We got Reagan Gomez, man. What's going on, Reagan?
What's going on? Did somebody say pancakes? Did somebody say pancakes?
it has been a wild thing. Last time we had you on, we reviewed Fear the Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is coming back in April already. Woo.
Yes, it is. That was a quick ass turnaround.
Wouldn't it though?
They must have ordered some new episodes on the pronto. Like, new episodes, let's go.
I mean, immediately. And I like the show. I like the show a lot. I'm not mad that there's a Fear of the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead, because anything zombie, if it's a good show, I'm there.
You know, and honestly, it feels like I'm gonna need it, because as dark as this show is getting, I feel like whatever we end on is gonna make me be like, this can't be it. And then we just gonna have to keep going. So.
Yes.
I think so too. Cause you're gonna be fiending like a junkie. Like you're gonna be, you know, fiending.
And you got the preview for the Fear the Walking Dead looks so good.
It looks so good. Why, like, I didn't know zombies could swim. Like they're coming out of the ocean. Like who are these zombies? Like,
right, yeah, we're gonna have boats and shit. It's getting ready to be fun.
We got suit dude on a yacht.
Yes.
Oh, they was trying to run back to the boat at one point. Zombies was after. I said, man, it's on. I can't
wait. We're gonna have zombie pirates. I'm ready. I don't know what's happening.
That's what I was about to say. Pirates. People trying to steal the boat.
So many ideas in this world that haven't been explored that they can mess with, and I'm really excited. And honestly, finally, that little clip they've been showing of the 1 minute snippets of the plane finally started heating up. Like
I know. I bet you that whole series, that whole show is probably like 20 minutes. And they just giving us 1 minute, 30 seconds, you know.
And
I'm so mad at everybody on that goddamn play. I'm so pissed off at everybody on that goddamn play.
Me too. Everybody but the
girl.
Oriental girl. Yeah.
Oriental. No, Asian, Karen.
My
oh, my
bad.
God.
That's racist.
The Asian.
I was guessing the race. My bad, y'all. Wrong game.
We coming off of the Oscars.
You know, trying to complain about Chris Rock and look at Karen.
I'm breaking all the rules.
But how
my
is
bad.
She the only one who knows what to do? Like, I think the teenage boy, he's feeling something too, but how is everybody else on that goddamn plane oblivious? But then, like, in the last episode, I think the stewardess was like, we can't land, or there's we're not receiving any information on the other end, so it's everybody knows shit is fucked up, but everybody's also okay with this man who's like tripping in the bathroom. Like,
she is super duper woke, and I appreciate her wokeness.
Yes.
She was ready to stab that dude in the head when he like went in the bathroom for too long. So
see, then the man tried to mansplain to her and tell her to sit her ass down.
Right. Then his wife was like, that's my husband.
Buddy had the gun, shot dude all up in his chest. just wasting bullets. Oh man.
I mean, like, if you use your common sense and you shoot somebody in the chest and they are still coming after you, wouldn't common sense, wouldn't the Lord Jesus Christ say, You need to shoot him in the head, my child.
He said one more time in the chest, just to be, no, okay. I guess the 12th bullet was just not gonna do it. So yeah, I can't wait for all that stuff. And I think Game of Thrones is coming back in like,
yeah, so when we talk about zombies, I mean, they got White Walkers on there. I'm ready.
Yeah, them zombies is like on PEDs.
What did he say? That zombie stood up like, what you want to do?
Yeah.
What you want?
I'm here, dog. I'm here.
Them zombies is like on that Sharapova stuff. You know what I mean?
I'm down that good shit.
Yeah. Ignoring all the email warnings. Also, you know, I'd be remiss to not mention Reagan, since being on our show, has her own podcast.
She does, y'all. It's good.
Reaganomics. We listen to it. I hope you guys are listening to it. In case you just didn't know, now you know the deal. But it's a great podcast. What was your impetus for starting it? And, you know, like, what, like, how do you determine what the subject matter is from week to week?
Like, I feel like I've been on Twitter since 2009, and with the election in 2012, and now with everything that's going on with my Black feminism and just being Black in the business, I feel like I go on Twitter, I hate to say rants, but Twitter discussions all the time, and I'm very active. I even be knowing what's going on the Twitter timeline. Like, everybody was talking about Aisha Curry again today, and I did not even want to get into it to see what was going on. So I feel like, and I listen to a lot of podcasts. Like I said, I've been listening to podcasts for a while. But I feel like, I talked to my husband and I just thought we could do something special because we've been in the business so long and we know so many people. Like, I just decided to do a podcast and just open up, you know, my contacts and just start calling people like, hey, would you come on? Hey, you know, the last episode we had the casting director of Empire, who I've known since I was 14. I didn't even know she worked at Warner Brothers Television when I first came in off the Greyhound bus from Philly. So I know so many interesting people and people of color and women of color in business. I feel like our show could be something interesting for people to listen to if they want to get in the business. And so many times when people talk about the business, they talk about, you know, directors, producers, and actors, but they don't really talk about the casting directors, or they don't really talk about, you know, cinematographers who handle, you know, the camera and all these, you know, unseen people that make this world go round. So I thought it would be something interesting. And also, I mean, I'm just political anyway. That's kind of like who I am. I try to stay away from the timeline, but it just keeps calling me back. So I'm trying not to deny myself anymore. And that's just kind of who I am. So we talk about politics. On our last episode, we talked about, it was called Beyonce and Fear of the Big Black Feminist. So we talked about Black feminism and, you know, so I'm proud of our little show. And I think I am the most liberal, progressive person in my family. So when people listen to the podcast, I know they're like, oh, okay. But I mean, hey, God damn it, I'm grown. So this is what I think. This is, you know, this is our show.
Yeah, it's, I mean, obviously, you know, on Twitter, you're super woke. Like, I always feel like.
I have learned. I have learned from the women. Listen, I'm doing Twitter right. I encourage y'all to do Twitter right, because I dread the day that people pull up my tweets from 2009.
Mm-hmm.
But I have learned. I've definitely learned. Like, I didn't know about Black feminism until I came on Twitter. I didn't know about a lot of the phrases for LGBTQ folks and trans folks. Like, I've learned because I follow people who are smarter than me and people who are more woke than me and people who are very educated on a lot of different matters that I just don't talk about in my house or in my family or in my, you know, small group of friends. And I think that's the point of Twitter. I'm not on Facebook, so I don't know how Facebook works, but I know all the time I see people talking about, see, this is why I don't fuck with Facebook no more. So I'm gonna just stay on Twitter. But there's so many different groups of people on Twitter that, from literally all around the world.
Right.
So if you want to learn about anything, there are people on Twitter that you could be following and talking to and learning from. So I think that's what makes Twitter so much different than every other social media app or whatever.
Well, you hold it down on there, man. Yeah, I'm always always impressed by you know, whatever you're talking about and the things that you say. And
thank
you know, no problem, man. Especially, you're a great follow. And especially for, you know,
oh, yeah.
someone that has like a, you know, a career. Like, I think right. so many people get so scared of being like, well, what is the thing I'm gonna lose for, you know, saying my opinion? It's kind of like, well, when you're right, I would, you know, like, I hate the fear for people who are right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Cause it's like, I understand the fear for people who are wrong. You know what I mean? So like, if someone's out there tweeting all kinds of like gay slurs and stuff and you're like, okay, yeah, you're gonna lose an opportunity at some point and this is all on you. You could have learned and known better. But when it's something like, you know what? I think you guys need to stop misgendering Caitlyn Jenner or something. And then people come through like, you know, it's like, don't say that. It's like, well, you know, I hope that didn't cost you a job, but what kind of job did you want? They were gonna frown on that, you know? So
yeah, I also think, and I say this a lot, I also think I was very lucky that when I got on Twitter, I was on the Cleveland show, because what the fuck is Seth MacFarlane gonna say? Like, look at Family Guy. Like, what is he gonna tell me about? Like, literally, what are they gonna tell me? They told me nothing. And when I got on Twitter, nobody cared. You know, my agents didn't. It's not like anybody was like stalking, I think my camera, oh, there we go. I think my, you know, nobody was like stalking my timeline to see what was happening. I remember in, I want to say 2010, I made the top five most powerful black women on Twitter. It was me, it was Kimora Simmons, it was a few other people in 2010. So Twitter was still early and I was so excited and I showed my manager like, oh my God, look at this. They were like, girl, what? You better not be late for this audition. Okay. So that's when I was like, okay, nobody really gives a fuck that I'm on Twitter or what I'm saying. No, literally nobody is looking at me. And then I realized like how powerful it was when in 2011, I had just had my son and I was contacted by the Obama administration to be a surrogate for them around the country. Cause you know, in 2011, there was another election going on.
Right.
And you know, so I was like, God damn, really? And even then me telling my agents like, this is kind of big. They were like, yeah, whatever, girl. So now I think Hollywood, like within the last year, I think Scandal was the first like company or group of people that was kind of like, this Twitter thing is kind of incredible. But now I'd say within the last year, everybody else is kind of like, okay, let's get on Twitter. But now it's kind of like, it's, you know, right. If you weren't here back then, we're not really checking for you right now. So
yeah, shows now even like have the hashtag in the corner of the show, like tweet this when you're talking about the show. It's like, yeah, they really embraced it. But yeah, you were way ahead of the curve. And like I said, man, it's, you know, you're awesome, man. I don't know what else to say.
Well, thank you. And you know what's funny? Even before I started following you, I used to see you on my timeline all the time, and I didn't know who you were. Right? But then after the Bernie So Black thing, because I was even listening to you, to your podcast, I think, because I even heard you on Twitter, and I still didn't connect the dots like you were this person. So it was after the Bernie So Black thing that I was like, oh shit, I know that dude. Okay.
Yeah, I always end up there's like, I think Twitter, the thing that can't be copied by any other social media is, even without you following someone, if you have a lot of the same like interest, you will overlap. It's just you know, sometimes there's people where I've been talking to them for months and then I go, I'm not following you. Like, what, like, in my head, me and you, you know, we were going together. We were best friends. Everything was great down the line. And then I look at the thing, I didn't even hit follow. And I'm just like, my bad.
I think for me, and maybe this is just me, I think because of who you are, one day you're going to be looking and you're going to be like, this bitch is crazy, unfollow. I don't know why, I just think one day you're gonna be like, that's not appropriate.
No, not at all. I love y'all. Y'all see what I be talking about. I be down in the dirty conversations on my timeline just like everybody else. So, you know, no, never. Never that.
Yes. And I love your show. And the thing I love the most about your show is so funny because you're so cheerful and perky. And your husband has like a quiet storm voice.
Yes.
And so when I'm listening, I expect a commercial break when him talking about, we'll be right back. Here's some John B. playing in the background.
Yeah,
we are kind of opposites, which is funny because our birthdays are only a week apart. But we are opposites. We're both introverts, but I'm an extrovert, introvert, meaning that in situations, I know how to conduct myself. I can be bubbly and I can be, you know, and because of Twitter and really because of the election in 2008, I'm really kind of politically aware. And I've told you guys the whole story why I, you know, I have the news on right now, but I really don't even be watching the news. I'll be listening to podcasts and all that kind of stuff. And I learn all kind of, you know, interesting things on Twitter, but he's like only on Instagram. I keep telling him he needs to get on Snapchat. He like, no, I don't want nobody in my business. Even getting him to get on Instagram, it took, people gonna know where I am. And, like, I was on Instagram first. But now all my family, nobody's on Twitter but me. So I have to go on Instagram to see what they doing. And they always text me like, let me see what you talking about on Twitter. And, you know, so he's very kind of laid back. And but my husband has been in the music business for a very long time. He was signed to Michael Jackson when he was 14 years old. He was in a group called Quo. He modeled internationally throughout his teen years. That's when I met him, when he was overseas in Paris shooting with Tyson for Loma Vogue. So, like, he modeled at a very, very high level. And he's still in the music business, and he's worked with so many people. So the show is also about music, and you know, sometimes I get off on a tangent and I could just be talking by myself, but he gets in there when he wants to, but he knows when I'm on a tangent, he like, go on, babe. He's the engineer too, so he just be making sure everything sound all right. So he just be like, go on. And I'd be like, okay.
Well, I love the dynamic between you two.
Me too.
And I love the interviews as well. It's just like I said, it's a great show, man. Mm-hmm. Go check out Reaganomics, guys, because it's dope.
You. We're only 10 episodes in. I don't know how y'all did it at your past 1,000 now, but you know, we're only 10 episodes in. We're still a baby, but we're working it out.
But you know, the bug, it grows slowly. It's not like, I mean, it took us forever to get to 10, you know. It's just slower, like, especially as you get more used to doing it, you can put them out a little faster. You start, yeah, you know, have to edit less. We was doing way too much work when we got it at first. It was just,
yeah,
I was like, mm-mm. They were talking about why y'all put out so many podcasts. I was like, because this is a cut and press.
I look back at them days like, why did I add that music? I don't even, nobody wants to hear the music under me talking. That's stupid. But yeah, make sure y'all check it out. And of course, you know, today's episode of the Blackout Tips is sponsored. It's triple sponsored. Woo-hoo! Oh yeah, wait, let me say this. The official weapon is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. Bobby Schmurter been in jail 448 days. All right.
Can I say something too? Mm-hmm. I feel so bad. When I listened to the episode I was on last time, it took me forever to realize you were totally serious about Bobby Schmurter. And we've been kind of laughing about it. But then the more I started thinking about it,
me
like,
too.
This brother is really like, he's like in a horrible situation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first time I remember someone brought it up because we was jamming a hot nigga and they like emailed us and was like, isn't it messed up? And in my first initial thought was just like, well, he was out doing thug shit. I mean, he should be in jail, I guess. I mean, what's the point? You know, like, it was really dismissive. And I remember someone even on Twitter had said something like, he's a political prisoner and stuff, and everybody that's in jail is a political prisoner if it's under these drug laws. And I was like, I don't know. Some niggas need to be locked up. I don't know what to say. And then I looked into his case a little more, and I was like, wait a minute. There are people who do way horrible shit.
And they free.
And they walk around on the streets with us every single day.
Daniel was chilling in his house for forever.
Right. Now, why bother? And people, I know there's people that listen every day, they laugh at it, and they really think I'm tripping. But I'm so sincere. There's no reason Bobby Schmurter shouldn't be walking these streets. Nope. He's not even the dude that they think did any of the killing and shit. Like, he just a dude. He rapped about it, and he know, and he hang out with them dudes.
And they keep like changing his bail or something, or denying him bail. Yep. And
his bail is $2 million. His record company won't help get him out because he could have earned that money. Let's be honest. He was hot as hell when he came in. Yeah. I don't know about now, but at the time. And then it was only $2 million. They won't even, I mean, it is $2 million, is a lot. They won't even reduce it. Bill Cosby's bail was $1 million. Like, it's crazy to me, man. So yeah, it, you know, it's infuriating just on a justice system thing, because we gotta have equality. Why can't he be on the streets like everybody else making high
and I remember you talking about that, what was that asshole, Martin Shkreli. Mm-hmm. Like, he was gonna put up the bail, and it was kind of like, well, shit, he's a fuck dude, but right. If Bobby can be free, then let that happen, and now he can't even do that. So
matter of fact, soon as he announced it, they arrested his ass. Right.
The government was like, no, you won't set him free.
It's a coincidence, right?
Oh, not a coincidence.
I hate to be a conspiracy theory, but this shit must go all the way to the top.
It must.
Bobby must have said something about Obama, dog.
Obama, he knows something. He knows something that's going on, I'm telling you.
He got a lyric somewhere that Obama's like, nah, nope, lock him up. But yeah, we're triple sponsored. Of course, Shadow Dog Productions is sponsoring this. You can watch their new movie, Art of Confession, this Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time with me, Karen, and all the Shadow Dog peoples, as we watch and live tweet the movie Art of Confession, which, mm-hmm. They released this year. It's been touring some festivals and stuff, but this will be the first time that, you know, us normal people can watch it. The only thing is, you have to be a premium member to watch it, okay? Mm-hmm. We'll put a secret link on the website for premium people, and you can watch the movie online and tweet along with them and me and Karen, and there will even be prizes for people who use the movie hashtag, which is hashtag AOC premiere. So join us Saturday night at 8 p.m. live. We're gonna do this. It's always cool that Dexter lets us do that, because everybody knows everything we live tweet, we make a lot of jokes. Mm-hmm. So I'm always like, you gotta have some tough skin, man, cause we're gonna make these jokes.
Yeah. They don't stop.
Yeah. And then also, Bevel. This episode is brought to you by Bevel, who wants to help people out that have coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. To step up your shave game, Bevel is giving away for absolutely free to the first 200 people who go to getbevel.com and use code FREETBGWT. They're giving away the first month shaving kit for free. So you can go ahead and do that. It's only for people who are new customers and new memberships only. But if you want to try Bevel, it's the perfect time to get it absolutely free for your first month with code FREETBGWT. And lastly, oh wait, I need some sexy music for this. Let's go to my new favorite band, Marley in the Mix. Where's Cloud Nine? All right, and why does that sound low? Does that sound low to you, Karen?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's why.
You got me tied up, drugged out. Why you all I think about? Kiss my lips, I get my fix, and hell, my fire blow me out. Hide up, drugged out. Why you all I think about? Kiss my lips, I get my fix, and hell, my fire.
So listen, I hear that a lot of you guys out there are having sex, okay? And it's time for us to have a talk about it. We would like to help you and your sex to get more sex. What we want you to do is go to adamandeve.com and get 10 free gifts. That's right. That's the extent of our help. We're not trying to make you do too much. You can get a sexy little surprise for her. You can get a specially selected toy for him. Third, a little something for both of y'all. And they give you 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. So just in time for International Women's Month, you can get free shipping on your entire order. Just use code. Look, you'll be able to have babies like this. That's what I'm saying. All you gotta do is go to adamandeve.com, select
any. Give us Baymax, please. I'm sorry, y'all. My kids, they don't care. They don't care what I got going on. All right.
It's all right. Don't worry about it. At adamandeve.com, select any one item. Get adventurous new sex toys, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Offer code TBGWT at checkout, and you'll get 10 free gifts. At adamandeve.com, that's all you gotta do. Get your 10 free gifts, free shipping too. We hit offer code TBGWT at adamandeve.com. Play me out, Marley in the Mix.
Don't know if I'll ever be the same. No going back, I'm all the way now.
Can't believe I found them randomly.
That's banging.
Right?
It is, though.
I love that you guys are talking about sexy stuff, and my 4-year-old is like, hey!
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did they on the conversation?
Hey!
That's how they got here.
Right. You know, I show up when you do sexy stuff.
There you go.
Babies. The best aphrodisiac and best birth control at the same time. Shout, by the way, shout out to everybody who saw the pictures of us holding Sebastian and just like tried to hint towards us having a baby. Nice try, internet.
It's a trap. Right. That's how I got my youngest son. My husband's cousin had just had a baby. They're almost exactly a year apart. And she came to my house and I held her and I smelled her, that newborn smell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fall for it no more though.
I know. Plus, I feel like babies got like a secret, like, code in their DNA to be well behaved around people that don't have babies. Mm-hmm. Cause then you'd be like, this is so easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have
cute toddlers and well-behaved toddlers, mm-hmm. but then you need to see a toddler that's like hitting his mama in the face,
right?
Just to remind you what it really is.
I held Sebastian for a good probably an hour today, no crying, mm-hmm. no fidgeting really. Mm-hmm. He just was chilling. Yeah. I said, I know what you're doing, dog.
He just
not
moved
slick.
Every 2 minutes to let you know he was still breathing.
Yeah, I just went on Facebook and started looking at bad children videos and was like, see, this is what y'all really like.
Mm-hmm.
All right, enough of this. I know you guys really came here for The Walking Dead. And that's what we're going to talk about, guys. We're going to talk about episode, let's see, what episode is this? Like, I want to say 10. Oh no, this is actually episode 12. We only got
five
after this.
Okay.
So we it's episode 12, Not Tomorrow Yet, directed by Greg Nicotero. He continues to do the action episodes.
Mm-hmm. That's his thing.
Yeah, he did The First Time Again, which is the first episode of this season with the big quarry of walkers and stuff. And he did No Way Out, which was episode 9 of this season when we came back and they Sam got 8. Mm-hmm. And
he got a good
then he did yeah, this joint with the raid, so it got 12.8682 ratings, so still got high ratings.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess without any further ado, let me play the music. All right, let me ask you guys. I'll start with you first, Karen. What'd you think overall about this episode 12 of season 6, No Tomorrow Yet?
I loved it.
All right. Reagan?
I loved it, too. I thought it was action-packed, and we got to see what everybody is made of. We've already seen most of them in action, but there were some people who we haven't seen get down before, and I loved it.
Yeah, this is a great episode. Maybe one of my favorites of the season. And I've enjoyed this season, other than the Glenn thing. I've enjoyed this season a lot.
Yeah.
But, this episode here was so intense.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I thought everybody was gonna die. At one point, I just thought every single person, I was just like, it's a good reason for them to get killed right now. And then,
mm-hmm.
just, whoo, man, they had me on pins and needles, dog. Not too many shows that can do that. So let's go in here and we'll go scene by scene and we'll get through this thing. We start with a song called Weeds or Wildflowers playing, mm-hmm. and, Carol is gathering up, ingredients to make acorn cookies.
Yeah, she was on it.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it sounded like a Swiffer Wet Jet commercial. Like, music was playing. I just expected some kids to come in with dirty feet and her to look at them like, oh, you darn kids, and pull out the mop and clean the floor. It's very cheery.
That Mr. Clean, like, you too could clean up.
Yeah, it really did. Like, if a spill would have happened and then, like, a paper towel would have came to life.
Bounty Rolls.
Yeah, it would have really fit. Like, it wouldn't have been too far out. And she went out and gathered acorns in the forest and in the woods. And a zombie rolled up on her and stained her nice white shirt.
Yep.
She had to take a shower, pick out some new clothes, go finish making her cookies. It was just kind of a very... it was almost like Martha Stewart in the zombie apocalypse type moment.
Yeah. You know?
And to me, that whole scenario, mm-hmm. I guess, made me think that Carol was getting to the point where she was more comfortable, kind of going back to how things used to be.
And almost, living this double life. Like, I can right. make cookies and all that, but I know I still have to be on guard and killing a zombie and getting blood all over my shirt. It don't even ruin my day.
Yeah, what I was thinking at this time was, I wonder if the talk that her and Morgan had and her killing that wolf, and all that stuff and Sam dying, it made me think, like, is she at this point where she's like the cover of Martha Stewart, which I really felt like was her secret agent undercover move. And mm-hmm. If that's just like her too, like, it's like before it felt yeah. kind of like, well, she's just doing this because she doesn't want these idiots to know that she's the baddest of them all. I feel like that's really her now.
I feel like it's probably her too, because I feel like before all this happened, she had to have dinner ready for her husband. She right. had to have his coffee ready. She had to be doing his laundry, you know? So I feel like that's her. So now that she's able to kind of do that by herself, without him, of course, and of course she doesn't have Sophia anymore, and you know, she's gone through so much. Maybe this is kind of like a safe space for her, or mm-hmm. her calm, that at least she can hold on to something.
Yeah.
Because even Sam, which, you know, she gave him that I'll get you killed speech, but still, I mean, she has to be fucked up that here's another kid that's gone.
Yeah, it was almost like she was nurturing the whole town, because she was going around yeah. handing out cookies. Now, I don't know what she got that much Tupperware, but she was handing out right? cookies to everybody in fresh, clean, like, mm-hmm. did they raid a dollar store last week? I don't know.
They must have.
But she was just giving out cookies to everybody. She gave some cookies to Tobin. And you know, he was acting like, you know, I don't want these cookies, you know, you don't have to do this. And she's like, eat the cookies. And he was like, all right. And he's like, why they pink? And I started thinking about that LL Cool J song, Pink Cookies in a Plastic Bag.
Well,
getting crushed by buildings, which is a euphemism for sex, according to LL Cool J. Now, I don't know how exactly
me
that is a euphemism for sex. I don't know what kind of sex he's having, but that is what he said that meant.
There you go.
So right as he's eating her cookies, and he's like, it's good, it's got beets in it. Yeah. And she was like, right as they were about to have a discussion about that, Rick and the RV rolls up through the gate, and they both see that they're back. Carol runs over there, and Sasha's walking up on the RV, and they were like, hey, we gotta have a meeting at the church in an hour. And Sasha said, you got food? Michonne came outside, said, yeah, enough for another month.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carol comes over, says, Rick, what's going on? And he said, we're gonna have to fight. And then the credits started.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and no, the credits didn't even start yet. I'm sorry. Then it actually, like, and this was really dope, it cuts to the sky, which has been like spotless up until mm-hmm. this moment, and there's storm clouds coming in, and that's you hear right. thunder in the distance.
That's right. Yep.
Damn, man, this show don't do nothing subtle, but I love shit like that. I don't care. Like, I was just like, oh, it's coming. War is a coming.
It's just a reminder that no matter how calm you get, you gotta be ready to shank a nigga, like, immediately if need be.
At any moment, you mm-hmm. can get it. Shit, Gregory learned last week. They hit him up like the father on Mad Real World sketch. on Chappelle's show.
Send you a message, shank shank.
There you go.
Morgan came rolling up behind Carol, and I rolled my eyes.
Why did he? First of all, I was sure that it was gonna go down, like, immediately, because he rolled up on her and back of her, and then he had the broomstick. I'm like, wait a minute, is something about to happen right now?
Yeah, and he came through, and he was like, you know, why didn't you tell anybody? And she was like, what? And he was like, you could have told them. You don't have to sit with that. She said, man, just beat it. Don't worry about why I ain't tell him. And he was like, what about the other people? You ain't get them to tell them. You told everybody to be quiet about it. Someone should have told on me by now. And if you don't tell people, then it's kind of like you in on my lie as well. and I didn't ask you to do that, so just tell everybody. And she said, man, if you don't get the hell on, and right. he left.
And being all dramatic.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, she was standing over whatchamacallit's gravesite.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. They turned and she walked away, and you could see all of this happen in front of Sam's grave, who she had one cookie in a plastic container for.
Right.
She left a cookie for him. Yeah. Right. This world is so fucked up. It's so fucked up.
And you know, and the thing about that was, Sam was the last person I believe who really believed in just the pure good of Carol. Like, just, he never saw her as anything, even when she was scaring the shit out of his dumb ass. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was like, I'm here for the cause and I love you.
Yeah,
he still trusted her.
He's like, I'm gonna be safe around you.
He left that stamp of that A on her porch. Like, he really thinks she was just a good person.
Yeah.
And, his ass dead, man, partially because of the words she spoke to him. It freaked him the fuck out.
Yeah.
So they go up in church. Rick's giving a sermon. And he was giving a speech, which was, hey, we made a deal with the Hilltop. We got to go kill some people and exchange for this food. To which he said they weren't going to do unless everybody was on board.
Mm-hmm.
But you did already take the food.
Yep.
So.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I think it might have been a thing where he's saying, okay, it's going to be a group decision, but if you go against us, just know that most of the people in here are going to be with me. So let yourself be known if I need to keep an eye on you.
This felt very much like he already had the super delegates in his pocket.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
To get things taken care of, but he just wanted to do like a little litmus test of the room, like, all right, raise your hand if you got a problem with this shit.
Yeah, it was one of them, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was definitely that moment. And of course, just like that one bitter cousin that comes to your wedding, when it's time for speak now or forever hold your peace,
they got to stand up.
Everybody in the room looked back towards Morgan like, go ahead, we know what you're going to say. And Morgan had to get up and say something, talking about,
I'm so disappointed in him. I'm so like, I hate wanting him to die. I don't want you to die, but I do want you to die because you keep pissing me off.
Yeah,
that and what I can say, no matter how annoying he is, he's staying true to character.
Well, mm-hmm. I will say this for the show. One, I absolutely love that they do not try to do a stereotypical black person. Like, it's right. never just, I'm from the hood, yo. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think they attempted something like that with T-Dog and realized that was dumb because no one liked T-Dog.
Mm-mm.
And they made him a little bit more redeemable by the end, but we don't know T-Dog's backstory. We don't know anything about T-Dog. That was terrible.
And Merle whooped his ass.
Right.
The racist whooped his ass.
Whooped his ass. Never got revenge.
Nope.
It was this horrible character. I hated him. But with Morgan, he is complex. He's crazy.
Yeah,
but it's not like it's like he's true to form. He has some level of I don't know what you would call it. Just he has a moral level that he won't fucking waver from, and it's just so annoying in this world. You know what I'm saying? It's so annoying, but you almost have to respect his principles because he stood up in a room full of people that's like, yeah, let's go kill him, and was like, all right, I know what you're thinking, but
he's not hiding who he is. He's like, y'all already know what I'm about to say, and I'm gonna say it.
And he knew that those people had dirt on him when he said it. He knew that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Right. Carol, Rosita, Eugene, anybody could have just been like, well, actually, motherfucker, it was your no violence policy that almost got this whole town messed up.
Right.
And everybody was just kind of like, just let him do his thing, girl. Just,
yeah.
Okay, Morgan. So yeah, I do respect his principles in a way, but I want him to die so bad. Just die.
Because he's bringing danger on them, like repeatedly. Yeah. Like, I thought maybe he learned his lesson at the end of the last episode when everybody was inspired by Rick and everybody was just out killing, you know, the walkers, but it's clear he hasn't. He's not a new person. He's still in the same place he was.
Still ain't crossed that line, man.
Right.
And the thing is, if you watch the patterns of the show, it's always the same. Like, Rick and those guys are violent. They're gung-ho. They're very, we got to do what we got to do. Matter of fact, there's always a person in the group that's really the soul of the group, mm-hmm. who's like, what if there's another way?
Like it was Herschel. Yeah.
Yep. And Herschel, it's been Glenn. Dale, Glenn, and there's another one on Tyrese. Tyrese, before he died, was, you know, he's like, why we got to kill these cops? Can we like tie them up or something? What, like, why y'all want to go in the hospital and kill everybody? So like, there's always like a person, but I think.
Hell, Rick used to be like that.
Yeah, to Shane, yes. And and the thing is, as the group has hardened, that person gets listened to less and less.
Yeah.
Like this week it was just like, okay, yo, whatever, nigga. Like before it used to be like a whole debate, but Rick basically said, anybody else agree with this motherfucker? And Aaron stood up and said, nah.
Nah. So. Not over here. And almost like, and if you got a problem with it, you can talk to me.
Right.
Like I'm not gonna let this happen.
Yeah, and Aaron feels responsible.
Right, because he was like, hey, dawg, I am one of the reasons why this shit had popped off in the first place, because I left my bag out in the middle of nowhere. So, and I publicly told it, like, he wasn't depending on waiting on nobody else to tell his story, because at any time, Morgan could have just told himself.
Yeah, and I think you have to remember this, if you look at, like, diplomacy and, like, foreign relations, this is basically a town that just experienced their own 9/11. And then it's basically the George Bush terrorism doctrine, which is we will go get them before they get us. Fight them over there so they don't come over here. That's clearly what this is now, where the Negan's group hasn't done anything directly to them, but they're just like, but one day they would possibly be.
They've been through enough stuff with Terminus, with the governor. They know what it is. They know what it is.
So then everybody has like, Rick delivers one of my favorite bars, which is, they don't have to kill, but if they stay here, they do have to accept it. And then he fast walked past everybody. Carol, goes to, try to go to sleep. She can't sleep. She wakes up. She has a journal. She writes names, or not like letters, in the journal. And basically it appears to be Carol's kill list.
It's her kill number or her kill list.
And according to her, Carol, she's killed, I want to say, 18 people. Now I found this interesting. One, the first letter is R. R, I'm assuming, is Ryan, who is the father of Lizzie and Mika. Now I'm assuming, now the thing is, he did die from that sickness thing. And then he wanted, I think, Lizzie to kill him, and she couldn't do it. So then Carol had to do it. But he died technically, but she killed him before he could come back to be a zombie, right? Then she had Karen, and I think his name was like David or something like that. That was the people she burned alive to stop the plague. So she
Tyrese's
killed,
girl.
Yeah, Tyrese's only true love.
That's, he I still, fell in love with her after a week.
Listen, that scene where she has to tell him, still to this day, woo! I thought he was gonna kill her.
He was going to kill her.
He had that gun. I said, he gonna kill this fool. She should have waited. So then she had, I think, Terminus Courtyard, and she had three question mark, which is, you know, about right.
Right.
You know.
And scroll up. Didn't one of them say Ed?
No, she didn't have Ed. I was gonna get to that last.
Okay.
The candle woman.
Yeah, she lit her up.
And she let her be eaten by the walkers, and then she had W7 because she killed some wolves. And there was about seven
of
them.
Took the book out.
You know, maybe even more. And a couple other people killed wolves too, but you know. And then I think she didn't put Aaron, who was the woman. Remember when the wolves attacked? She got cut. And then Carol had to kill her to keep her from screaming.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she did. Right in the head. Yep.
Yeah, I don't think she put her.
On the steps.
And then she didn't put Ed, but she should have, because she killed Ed to keep him from coming back. Her husband got eaten by walkers. And then he would have been a zombie. And then she hit him with a fucking, like, pickaxe through the head. But maybe she didn't put him because he was her abuser.
Yeah.
You know? Either
maybe,
way.
Maybe. So like, she just, count. No memory of him at all. Maybe. Yeah.
She like, fuck him. You know? Mm-hmm. I ain't counting him as the person. Either way, she's a badass, and she killed at least 18 people. So.
And to me, I think that was to I don't know, I guess it kind of proves Morgan's point was that, hey, dog, this does take a toll on you, mm-hmm. no matter how much you do what you have to do, this takes a toll on you.
Yeah, I remember he told her something like, this isn't who you are or something a couple weeks back, and, mm-hmm. you know, she, you know, he's trying to say, like, we don't have to be the savage crew of people, and she's like, yeah, whatever, dog, you don't kill people, shut up. so then she goes out, smokes a Newport, mm-hmm. and she's walking down the street in the middle of the night, and Tobin is sitting on his porch just looking out into the stars because he can't sleep, and they had this conversation where he's basically like, I you know, let me get that cigarette. She was like, nah, partner, this for me. and when she said it, she was like something like, nah, asshole, and it was mm-hmm. like, are they flirting? You know,
a little bit. It was playful, right? It was very playful.
Yeah. So then she comes and sits on the porch. She does let him get a hit off the drag off the cigarette. And they had this conversation where Tobin, in a very inarticulate way, tries to show his respect for her role in the community, which is mm-hmm. you're like the mother to everybody. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't mean it like the Susie Homemaker mom type. Like, I'm not saying it in the pejorative way. Right. He's saying moms do all the tough shit. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. all the stuff nobody wants to do. All the nasty, dirty messes. Like, you clean that up. You right. know, for us, you are the who this city, who we need in Alexandria, who we look up to. And everybody looks to you in that way. And it was kind of like, it was a cool moment.
Yeah, it was, because, I mean, she really is that. She's the one who, after everybody, they lose so many people, she's the one the next day that's going to bring everybody sanitized wipes to wipe their hands and fresh break cookies, and she might make dinner that night. Like, she's the one to kind of keep everybody from really being like, what's the point? What's the fucking point?
Yeah, and he said she scares him. Yeah. In a way, which I thought that's a reasonable thing to say about Carol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's scary.
Yeah, she is.
like in every, and now the thing was, she was like, so is that what I am to you? Like a mom. Mm-hmm. And he said,
no,
you something else to me. Mm-hmm. And then they started making them kissy eye faces. Mm-hmm. And then they start kissing together, y'all.
He said, give me some more of them cookies.
Mm-hmm. He said, let's get out here and make this mayonnaise sandwich.
There you
go.
They
start kissing. It was so good. Nobody was shipping them that I saw on the timeline. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. But I'm assuming
I didn't see that one coming.
Nobody really ever ships Carol. They tried to ship Carol with Daryl, which I didn't think that was gonna happen at all. But nobody really ships her, and I think that's kind of what makes her character really one of my favorites, is because mm-hmm. she's so complex. She's so the opposite of what a quote-unquote hero is. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, she's not in her teens, she's not Beth, she's not, you know, she has the short hair, the gray hair, she's a mm-hmm. mom, her daughter's dead, but yet she's still living. She will kill your ass. Like, she can do so many things, and I love that they're making her a sexual person as well.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what everybody's going. Oh, go ahead, Karen. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I about to say, she's like aluminum foil. She's very versatile. You can put her in any. You can put her in any situation.
Anyone.
Everything slips and slides. She's a nonstick. The shit just rolls off.
I don't know.
She has literally saved the whole group a few times. Right. To mm-hmm. be quite honest with you, by herself.
Mm-hmm.
No one else has done that.
And I don't know what we would call this shipping couple. Some people said, I heard cabin, I heard torrible. I went with carbon. I feel like that's pretty like good. That. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, so this is a relationship scene. And by the way, every time they have relationship scenes in this show, I'm like, so which one of y'all gonna die? You know, because Can't have no happiness.
Can't have no love.
No, you can't. And it's a lot of couples in the last few episodes. Everybody's kind of either getting it in or trying to get in there.
You got Rashawn. And then you had Terrell and Denise. We're going with Terrenice. I don't know. Either way, they had a conversation where Tara straight up lied to Denise's face and said, well, you know, I'm going on a 2-week supply run with Heath. And because Denise noticed she was thinking about something, and she said, what are you thinking about? She basically was like, oh, you know, just how much I love you. And it seemed like it struck Denise funny because she didn't say it back, and it was kind of this like, ain't it a little too early for the love shit, you know? And so then Tara lies and says they're going on a run, and then immediately I picked up on it because I was like, I think she's going on the mission, so why is she lying, you know? And then she even went so far as to offer Denise to go.
Yeah.
Which is
weird.
Yeah, and that's super like, that's almost like more fucked up, you know?
Like, right. And she knew she was going to have to say no, I'm assuming.
Right.
So it's like one of those questions where you ask where you already kind of know the answer to it, or you're hoping they'll say no.
Right. Yeah, so that relationship, you know, that's a lie. And Denise told her she loved him when she got back. Abe. Abe went up in Rosita's house. Start packing his shit.
Abraham is such a Twitter dude. Like I want to say he's an ancient dude, but I know where he's coming from.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
And the thing is, I respect what he did. I know a lot of people mad and upset, but it's one of them things. He was like, hey girl, I'm keeping it real with you. Know your foot is going to get hurt, but I thought you was the only one. But apparently, there's other pussy out here too.
I don't know.
So I'm going to tell you now.
I actually had an audio from that scene. Let me see if I can play it for everybody.
I think I'm falling in love with you.
That was him talking to Sasha. Then he got out of the bed. Then he got ready to call Rosita.
Yeah, give me Holly Court, 55377. Hello, it's Daddy. Hey, darling, put Mommy on the phone. Yeah, Barbara, it's Richie. Yeah, look, I ain't never coming home no more. Take it easy.
And that was how they broke up?
That's exactly how they broke up. Refresh on your Spreecast.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you froze.
Okay, all right. Cool. They ain't get to hear none of that. Oh, they better hear the...
No, they can hear it.
They better hear the replay. Oh, they heard it. Okay, they heard the
audio. Yeah, you just frozen, but yeah, they heard you.
Okay, cool. Give me 1 second. I'll refresh. But yeah, he left her like Sunshine was had just left the room, because that was cold-blooded. He told her something like, when I first met you, because she demanded to know why.
Right.
Yeah.
And she was like hitting him, demanding to know
why. Oh, yeah. She was really upset. Yeah.
Yeah. It got kind of domestically violent up in there.
Yeah, it really did. She was going all upside his head and everything. Yes, it did.
With all the windows and doors open. And he said, look, when I first met you, I thought you were the last woman on the earth, but you're not.
Yeah, and maybe it's just me. It's just one of those things where there would have been no way she would have been satisfied with.
Nope.
I'm just keeping that real. There would have been nothing he could have said or any answer he could have gave her that would have satisfied her.
So, no, it couldn't be any halfway. It had to be, we done. Right. Not we're done, but let's be friends. But no, we're done. I'm an asshole. I hate you. You stink. Leave me alone.
Yeah, he had to make it crystal clear. He is one of those things where he couldn't have been, you know, hey girl, let's talk about this, because in her mind it has still been hope. He was like, nah, you see me packing my shit. I'm about to leave. I'm letting you know, me and you, this ain't happening.
Yeah, yeah, I guess it just,
because any other way he'd still been stringing along, and Sasha's like, hey doll, if you want to get with this, that shit got to be officially over.
Yeah. And I feel like too, like he's in this transition where he's like, maybe I can live again. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't even know what's going to happen in 5 minutes. I really want to be with Sasha. I got to make that happen like right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's clear that in his mind, he feels like this is the only way that's really being fair to her as well. Right. Yeah. This way you get the clean break and move on. Personally, I feel like he is an asshole, but that's who he's always been.
Right.
Like, it's, I just don't, character. I feel like this is very true to his character. He's not very sweet with Rosita.
He got his way with words too.
Yeah. Even last week when she wanted to, when she gave him that necklace, he said, you know, you're damn near close to perfect or some shit. I was like, is that a compliment? Is that a thing?
Right.
Man,
he also, any dude that lets Eugene watch y'all have sex,
he's not
a keeper.
Eugene is beyond creepy. Why is he so creepy?
Right.
I don't know. But
speaking of Eugene, he was right there watching the goddamn breakup too.
He had no respect for her.
So weird. Like, what the fuck is his problem? What's wrong with him?
And I forgot that all them lived in the same house together. I was like, oh shit, that's right. He does live with them.
He had a VA's for Lovers shirt on, eating one of them cookies. And then Rosita saw him looking when Abe left and was like, what? And he was like, these cookies are delicious too or something. She was like, get the fuck out, and slam the door on him.
You're a weirdo, right? Yeah.
I feel like he'd be waiting for them to have sex anyway so he could look through the peephole. So it's,
but
probably,
I'm like, does he have a crush on her? Like, why is he, it's very weird because they never explained that when Eugene was watching them. Like, they never explained that, or nobody ever talked about it again. They just kind of threw that in there.
Yeah, I feel like he probably, I wouldn't be shocked if Eugene really, really, really likes Rosita and would appreciate her more than Abe did. Like, I wouldn't be shocked, but he's just not an alpha male like Abe was. And for a long time, it was only those three on the road. So, you know, it was what it was. But yeah, I don't think Abe ever loved her. I don't think he ever really showed her that type of compassion.
Yeah.
You know, I think last week when they showed like Michonne and Rick like holding hands and stuff in the RV, Abe just had this look like, why the fuck do y'all do that? You know, when they showed Glenn, you know, pouring the pancake batter, or the Bisquick, or like rubbing his wife's stomach and stuff, Abe just has this look like, why are y'all making connections? Y'all really think this is that kind of world? So you got to imagine, that's the kind of relationship he's been having with Rosita for all this time, which is this, there is no point to us like living. I don't really want to plan a future with you, but you're cool for the meantime. And then he started having them feelings for Sasha that he could build a future with. And so Rosita just got left out in the cold.
And he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Yeah. Everybody knows, like, even when we talk about, you know, Glenn and Maggie, but is this the best decision to be having, you know, we'll get to it, but is this the best decision, what they're deciding to do? And is this the best decision? No, but what are you going to do? Not live life anymore? Like, it's a decision that you have to make. Like, what kind of person are you going to be? What kind of life are you going to be living?
And it's not like Sasha was willing to let him do a Tara and Amina and Peter Gunn's move. She was like, nah, I ain't no side chick. So he really didn't have a choice if you wanted to be with her. feel bad for Eugene. He's probably chilling around the corner with some lube. Didn't get that going.
Not this time.
Then we had Tara lied to Denise. They came up with a plan. The plan was from the guy, I forget the guy's name, but the guy that came with them with the broken hand from Hilltop. He was gonna show them a map.
She was like, a map? Matt, what's happening?
My kids are attacking me. Okay. Lock the door, Scarlett. Cause see, listen, I don't have a nanny. So my kids are here. My husband's doing homework with them. She has soccer practice. So, okay, we locked the door. We all right. We can just ignore them. Just keep on going.
Nah, look, this is why we like you. Cause you're so real, man. These are the moments that you just can't get spontaneously everywhere.
And my little one, he sees you guys on camera, so he's really like, who are you talking to? What
y'all talking about? Oh, it's so sweet. Hey, boo-boo. Hey.
They gone now.
So they had the, they came up with a plan to get to the armory. They figure if they get to the armory in this base that Negan's men are at, they will control the weapons, and that ends all any of these incursions always ends with whoever holds all the weapons. That's what stopped the wolf attack when Carol was able to secure the armory. So that's the plan. They drive, they're like, well, how are we gonna get in? And they said they're gonna let us in. And he said, how are we gonna do that? And Rick's like, they said they want, you know, Gregory's head. Mm-hmm. And he said, we're going to give it to him.
Yep.
My immediate thought was, obviously, they're going to cut the head off a zombie. My timeline's immediate thought was, these motherfuckers going to kill Gregory. I was like, come on. Greg.
I didn't know what he was talking about. I had no idea what he was talking about.
Rick's so savage. People was like, see, this that bullshit that he be on.
Agreement with the man, and then they going to turn around and just chop his head off. Like,
when it went to commercial, I was like, come on, man. Like, there's no way they gonna go back and do, like, it's all, this plan is already borderline, like, who's the good guys?
Right.
They, if they do that shit, they, it, this just becomes a show about evil. Like, it's just them being evil.
Right.
They go, zombie head shopping in the woods. They find the, to look for one that looks like, Greg's head.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick says, you got a couple hours. Everybody got spread out, get some zombie heads. And come back and we'll evaluate. While they're doing that, Gabe comes over and Rick's like, look now, don't be no bitch.
For real.
And Gabe was like, nah, man, I'm good, dog. You taught me too much. I'm ready to work. I'm ready to earn my place. And
he's like, I'm going to earn my weight.
And then Rick said, why you still got on that preacher costume then? And Gabe said, I'm still who I was. I think. Mm-hmm. And I said, why you think? He said, I think. I was like, that sounded like a question mark at the end of that. Mm. And he said, also, it'll be harder to see for them to see me in the dark.
Mm.
And that seemed to satisfy Rick. He said, cool.
All right. Ninja priest.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rosita got pissed at Carol.
Yeah.
Because Carol, she was like, and really it was by proxy, because really she was pissed at Morgan.
Right.
Yeah.
She's like, this nigga really said we shouldn't let motherfucking, we shouldn't attack.
Right.
And Carol was like, well, you know how he is. He just, you know, he just don't kill. And Rosita was like, we should have snitched on him then. I mean, we know he almost ruined the group with that wolf shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Carol said, we can't snitch on him because that exposes Denise. And mm-hmm. so Denise might get kicked out as well. So let's not do it. Now some people were like, well, when they said that, you know, exposes Denise, that they thought it meant, because Denise got taken hostage by the wolf, mm-hmm. it like that people will find out about that. I think what she's saying is Denise was actually in on that plan with Morgan.
Morgan
to keep him alive. Yeah.
Yeah. Morgan didn't force Denise to do shit. Denise mm-hmm. was like, this is a good idea. Let's heal this crazy dangerous asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And she put the group in danger just as much as Morgan with that dumbass idea.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, she only learned 3 pages of doctrine at that point, and she really was about to go use her trick. She like, I learned the trick to get out the infection. And so, yeah, man, I think Denise would have been exposed and it would have been bad. And she would have, it would have been really hypocritical for them to be like, Morgan can leave.
To go, but you can stay.
Yeah. Both of them would have had to go. So that's what it meant, in my opinion.
I agree. And I think it says something too, that Rosita, she could have said something, but she didn't, because Carol didn't. So there's like a hierarchy there. There's like order there. Right. And she, you know, obviously went up to Carol. Like, I thought it was fucked up. You didn't say nothing. But at the same time, I didn't say nothing either, because you didn't say nothing. So.
And
can you say something, please?
Right. And at first I thought she, because, I mean, Carol is the boss, and apparently she told everyone to be silent. But at first I thought, well, is Rosita upset about the breakup? And is this going to be her new persona, because she got broke up with rough, and it would have been completely reasonable to be walking around like fuck everybody for the next few days. Because I mean, come on,
it's like, you know what, it's like if your oldest kid does something bad in school and you go off on them, and then the little one is like, hey mama, can I have some juice? And you like, you be quiet too. Yeah. You get something.
Right.
They're like, what I do?
whoever there, gonna get it.
Right. Like I would have understood, but it didn't seem like they had any more moments like that for the rest of the show. So I'll definitely be watching that, but maybe that's just, she really was just mad at Carol that much and held it into that moment.
Yeah, and you say it's a respect thing too, because it's one of the things where she know Carol will fuck her up, so she like, I'm not saying shit.
Well, she also called Morgan a hijo de puta, which I don't know what that means.
I know puta is asshole or something like that. It's not a very nice, not a very nice word. So
yeah, I speak fluent IHOP kitchen because I used to work back there.
Yes.
And I can say that anything with puta in it is not good.
No, it's not.
So
somebody said son of a bitch.
Well, there you go. It's son of a bitch. Oh, okay. something bad. Mm-hmm. I know that's fighting words is what I know. Mm-hmm. I know not to be saying it.
Please don't.
Heath and Glenn have a talk in the woods while they're searching for heads, and they have a really come to Jesus moment where they both admit like virgins about to go into a brothel that neither one of them has ever had to kill somebody.
I didn't realize that about Glenn.
Yes, low key Glenn has been a person that's been on my nerves because I just feel like people give him a pass for never killing people. And I don't understand why other people get demonized for not killing, and Glenn like literally almost let Andrew kill him last year. It's a lot, you know. And Glenn wouldn't have been stuck under that dumpster if he had killed Andrew, like, you know. I'm trying to think
was there ever any other opportunity where he was supposed to kill a person and he didn't? And I don't know. I guess I just assume he's been killing so many zombies. I assume that he's been about that life with people as well, but he hasn't been, which is kind of shocking this far into the show.
Yeah, and the thing is, because the show doesn't put him in these ultimatum circumstances, it feels natural that he hasn't killed anybody. But when you look back, you're like, everybody done killed somebody, dog. Where your kills at?
Right.
At any rate, he ain't never had to kill nobody, and Heath ain't either. Then they kill the zombie and cut off his head. They pick out a zombie that looks like enough like Greg's head. The nose.
They lucked out with that,
right? My thing was they killed like three zombies that kind of look like them. But my thing was like, I guess like, what would? How close are they gonna inspect his head was what I kept thinking. Like, do these people know Greg like that? Do they be all, they got a picture of Greg to compare him to? Like, you know, I figured you could put probably anybody's head in the bag and like the two dudes who work security are just gonna be like, close enough. All
as
right.
long as it's a white man, I mean, yeah.
You know?
I'm good, close enough to me.
So they got a head that really did look like him. The nose was off a little bit. Yeah. So Rick fucked the nose up.
Yeah, he wanted to make it sure. And my thing is, when you get paid $5.25 an hour, you don't care if it look exactly like.
That's what I figured. Carol decides that this is a good time to challenge Rick about Maggie being on the trip. But Maggie and Glenn did have a conversation back in camp at Alexandria where she felt like she has to come because this is her deal that she made. And it wouldn't be right for her to make this deal and then sit back at Alexandria and let everybody
kind of do the dirty work for her.
Right. I don't necessarily agree with her reasoning. I feel like delegation is part of the plan. Deanna would have delegated it and let other people do it. She did it all the time. She was a great leader.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I guess I kind of get it because the world that they live in, she's going to be in danger anywhere. Mm-hmm. If everybody leaves to go do this, it's just going to be her and Carl, maybe a few other people back home too. And anything could happen back home as well. So I don't know. And I also think she's trying to run away a bit from this pregnancy. Maybe that's just me because she remembers what Lori went through.
Right.
And she knows that everything that they've had to do with Judith and all the dangers that Judith has been in. So maybe this is her way of not ignoring it, but still saying, I'm still me. I'm still going to be a part of the group. I'm still, you know, if we got to go do this run, I'm still going to be there too, even though maybe I shouldn't be, but this is the world that we live in. And this is the decision that I'm making.
Mm. Yeah, that. And also I think that she's like, I will never let Glenn out of my sight again, which I think is ridiculous, but I think that's her philosophy. Cause she's like, one day you may not return. But I do agree with Roderick as far as the delegation, because the thing is, the leader has got to be there to lead. So when shit happens and then your leader dies, you have to go through the process of finding another leader. And she basically has become kind of like the spokesperson.
Yep.
And it's one of those things where you can fight if you have to, but it's like this is not a situation where you had to.
The other thing is that she was already making a compromise, which was she was going to be on a perimeter anyway. Mm-hmm. Also, you have Rick, who's pretty much your military tactician at this point. It felt superfluous that she was there, you know, you know, it was almost redundant, like that they would have an extra person out on the perimeter.
Right. Who could be a liability.
Yeah. Right. And ultimately, like, my feeling about it is, cause I never want to try to take away somebody's agency. And even if you're pregnant, that doesn't mean that you can't help people or do anything. But I don't think the only job for people is to be out there with guns shooting motherfuckers. And as much as I saw a couple people being gung-ho about that on Twitter, it's like, you do realize if she gets shot or lose that baby, everybody's going to have the same thought, which is, why didn't you just stay in Alexandria? Everybody's going to have the same thought. No, and it will be worse because she's pregnant. Yep. Every single person is going to have the same exact thought. And it's a very small chance, but that's the thing that's on everybody's mind is, if something happens to her and that baby, we're going to be like, this show in my emotions. I hate this show. I can't believe y'all keep doing this to me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I don't feel comfortable with her being out there at all. And I think also the conversation with Tobin about motherhood and stuff really showed through, because Carol, one of the baddest motherfuckers in the crew, felt like, I need to be out here with Maggie because she doesn't realize that she doesn't need to be out here. Mm-hmm. And if she is going to be out here, now one of the best assets has to be here on bodyguard duty for her.
Right.
So so now not only is it that she's not really contributing, she kind of hurt the crew, because now you got one of your biggest guns.
They're a man down. Yeah.
Right. So it's just one of those things, you know, it's like when an athlete plays injured. It's like, yeah, cool. Thanks, Kobe. But
yeah,
all this limping, you know, like, the defense ain't too tight, dog.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway.
And she even told Maggie, like, you're supposed to be a different person. Like, why don't you understand this? That's why I think she might be fighting this a bit. You know what I'm saying? Because she doesn't want what happened to Lori to happen to her.
That's a good point.
But at the same time, she's making that a possibility. She's making that, you know, where it could happen to her. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then she's not very far along the pregnancy, because I didn't know how far or not far she was at first.
It's not showing.
But yeah, it's not showing. So she's still good. Because when she had to watch Jesus, I was like, if y'all writers make her water break or something, I'm punching somebody in the face. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, if she just be like, oh, I'm going into labor, I'm gonna be like, no, mm-mm. But anyway, she,
cause my thing too, when she said you probably better, I think Carol was saying better than me. A better person than I am.
Well, we'll get to that. That scene happens later, but we'll get to it.
Oh, my bad.
It's all right. It's all right. Y'all own it. So the saviors have to, the plan is also to go to the saviors station, the base. Mm-hmm. At the break, right before dawn, and then they'll have a couple hours, they said, to get in and get out. So everybody should be asleep. So they're gonna go break in at dawn by showing the guys ahead, and then they sneak in. Mm-hmm. So they have, the guy with the broken hand show the dudes the head. Okay. Jesus stays back in the car with Tara and Gabe. Cause they don't want Jesus to be seen, cause they don't want it to look like the savior, like the hilltop had anything to do with this raid, just in case shit doesn't go right.
Right.
The guy with the broken hand pulls out the head of the fake Gregory zombie. Mm-hmm. And the savior dudes have like two juggalos on security.
I'm like, no one has ever tried to take over this place. They don't have no fence. It's just like that glass door that they just like a door to like a liquor store or whatever that they come out of. Like, it looks like they had Comcast.
Yeah, look like they had Comcast. They're gonna hit the switch and everybody gonna get cable or some shit.
Weird for these people who are supposedly so dangerous. They are so accessible.
Yeah, and it did have. I will say this. It did have an ominous look from the outside with the red lights and the giant dishes, like the satellite dishes. Like, it had this, like, oh, it could kind of double as a military compound. But then when they walk out the front door, you're like, oh, yeah, this is where I go when my cable gets cut off to pay the bill.
Right.
So they come out and they got guns and they make the guy, they're just being very intimidating. They're making the guy show, like, the head. They're like, I don't want the bag. And he pulls out the head and the dude with the beard.
I knew he was gonna die because he looked like the kind of dude that was just gonna die. He thought he was all that, and I knew he was gonna die a horrible death.
By the way, beard game on fleek. Congratulations to you, sir. I don't know how
beard
you
and Scully. He had on right Scully too.
In the middle of the Z-Pac hole. His whole facial situation was fresh to death, but
He was using bevel.
He was on that bevel. Yeah, but his acting was wooden as shit, man.
It's so bad.
It was so bad. It was like porn casting couch acting in those porn videos, man. It was so bad. Like, they pulled out the head, and I think he was supposed to be like impressed, like, oh shit, like he did it. But he said, oh shit, oh shit. I was like, come on, man. and then the other dude who looked like the actor that plays McNulty, but maybe missing the chromosome. He inspected the head like when a black person tries to write a check. That dude was looking at that head.
Frontwards, backwards, right. All of that.
And I guess in hindsight, probably just cause he was a dick. I just can't imagine anybody knows what Gregory looks like.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
So then he took the head and made it talk. He was like, this bitch punched me in my nose or something like that.
Look at your security. Look at your security guards that you have protecting you. They're a bunch of jackasses.
Pay them more. You'd have better security.
Top flight of the world, Craig. So then they go in to get the homeboy that they've been keeping hostage. Mm-hmm. As soon as Buddy walks in the door, they cut Beardo's neck, scoop his body up, walk him out, pick up his gun. It was so smooth. It was some SEAL Team 6 shit.
So fast.
It was video game cleanup.
Like, Rick's crew, I keep saying this, and I'll say it until it's not true. Still the deadliest motherfuckers in this show.
You want to be on their team. You want to be on their crew. And then you see all these other crews, and you see how they lack in comparison. Like, nobody is like them.
Every time they stack up the odds against them, you can't help it. It's pretty much what the show is now. But you always think, oh, these new people... Okay, now they're a problem. This, like, I don't think these guys got it. And you forget that you've been watching 6 seasons of Rick and them just level up. You know what I mean? So
that's why it shocked me that Glenn hasn't killed anyone, because even thinking back to when he was tied to that goddamn chair and how he got out of that.
It was a zombie he killed.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never had to kill a person. So, so after this, the dude, they killed Beardo. Who was whistling happy birthday to me. McNulty comes out with the hostage dude, doesn't even think to himself, where did Beardo go?
Where's my homie?
Doesn't even think that shit to himself. Gives him the hostage. Michonne stabs him through the chest, smooth as shit, before he can even scream. And then they break inside. There's like a pretty good raid. Like, it's not... Like it's just intense. The camera work,
the music, the
way that they were moving is such a coordinated unit.
My heart was racing.
I felt like they, like Bin Laden was in one of them rooms.
they were like SEAL Team 6. They were so ready. They were so on.
I was waiting on a dude with a beard and like a dirty face to be like, "You're gonna kill Osama Bin Laden." so they
was looking for Saddam Hussein or somebody.
Right. I'm like, waterboard this motherfucker. So they start going to people's rooms looking for the armory, But as they go in people's rooms, the people are asleep, and they've decided anyone they roll up on is asleep, they get a knife to the head.
This is another thing where I'm like, no one has ever tried to attack the compound because these people sleep so peacefully. Like, in the zombie apocalypse, I mean, they're opening these doors. You don't hear nobody. They're coming right up to your face. You don't feel nobody up to your face. Like, I don't know who these people are where they've been able to, you know, jack shit from Hilltop like this. But I guess Hilltop are some punks. So
that's how we knew that Jesus was a good dude. Because everybody was like, what's gonna happen next week? And I was like, if Jesus actually said, Rick, wake up, he must be a good dude, because the evil person would just stabbed him right in his motherfucking head and left.
Yeah, because they both were knocked out,
right?
Yeah,
so, you know, this is what happened when you don't want them to wake up. They put everybody to permanent sleep with them knives to the head. And I can't help but say, it didn't really, until it happened, I just almost believed they were gonna find a different way. But it's definitely a new moral line for them, killing people in their sleep.
Yeah.
It
was very quick. It was very painless. I mean, until it started to go down. But it was very like, let's just get this over with real quick.
Yeah, it just felt different. Like, these people never did anything to y'all, and now they dead. And if you think about it from the other perspective, if I'm this group, no matter how fucked up a group you are, especially if you're a fucked up group, actually, how dare you attack us? We never did anything to you. It's gonna be retribution to pay. Heath and Glenn got on the same team somehow,
which I don't understand. I don't understand how that happened. Right. I don't understand how that lottery ticket got punched. I was like, neither one of y'all. I was like, oh, one of y'all getting ready to die. Fuck this up.
Yeah, it was like if 2 40-year-old virgins got in the same crew and they went into a room and they had to do the sleeping thing, and it took forever for Glenn to finally do it, but Glenn did kill somebody, and I have my money square on he ain't gonna do it. I said, these gonna be the ones to fuck it up. Glenn gonna wake him up. Hey man, I don't want to have to kill you. Can you just be quiet? And he did it. He killed the dude. Bravo.
Yep, he did it. He did what he had to do.
He just moved into impossible white man territory, because before this he couldn't be one because he wasn't killing people. But now that you're killing people, all right, Glenn, you have survived 17 impossible situations, and you do kill people now, so welcome to the club.
Welcome.
Then Heath was staring at his fucking dude that he had to kill like it was a pop quiz or some shit that he ain't studied for.
No, he wasn't ready.
He wasn't ready. I'm like, come on, Dr. Dre. God damn.
Right, he's supposed to be Black Bauer. He's supposed to be the star of the next 24. So I was like, man, you gonna have to kill some people, dog. And he was looking at that dude like Vince Young looked at that Wonderlic test, and he was like, come on, man, why we gotta do this? What just gotta do with throwing footballs? And and actually, true to form, true to racist form, he let the Asian dude do the test for him.
There you go.
Oh
yeah, and he passed the flying colors.
And there you go.
The thing about this whole situation is that it makes me go back and think about Michonne. When Michonne looked at him, I was like, nigga, until you don't know whose blood is who, you ain't done shit.
Yeah, Heath. Yeah.
Right. Because she had this conversation with him when he was trying to be all morally high and shit like that. And she was like, nah, dog, you ain't experienced nothing yet.
And trying to tell her, look, I've been out doing runs. I know what it is out there. And she's like, no, boo. No. Right. No.
No, boo. And the thing is, for you to be out doing runs, you kind of fucked up too, because you seen this quarry with these goddamn zombies in it a long time ago and never thought to bring your ass back here to see the situation, because you didn't have the foresight to understand that this might not be good.
Yeah, you're right about all of it. I mean, and I forgot about Heath and that Michonne conversation.
I remember that, because she called his ass smack out.
I was 7:30 hot with his ass. Like, man, you don't shut up, stop mansplaining and listen.
For real.
All right, so, but anyway, powerful acting in this scene.
Yes.
My man, I think his real name is like Stephen Young, who plays Lit.
Yep.
That motherfucker was acting!
Yes, he was.
I love him. Woo! I really, really love him.
I didn't think that knife was going through that dude. I said, man, I felt the weight. Oh, yeah. I felt the weight.
Because you could feel the pain and the pressure. And
he wouldn't kill a man who tried to kill him.
Right. No, he wouldn't.
Him.
And it was almost kind of like we were all kind of helping him put that knife in that man. Yes. Like, we were all trying to weigh the knife down so that it went in, and it went in. He made that choice. He did it. And not only did he do it once, he did it twice. He did it for me.
Yeah, and that felt more like his character when he did it the second time, because it was like, I don't want you to have to go through what I just did. I got you, Heath.
Right. And feel the burden.
I'm not even sure that was, I mean, they wound up making up for it, I guess, right, in the end. I'm skipping, but I don't even know if that was a good decision, because we, at this point, either you in or you out.
Right.
Either you gonna be about it or you not.
Right. Yeah, I would have made Heath do it. But he, so then he looked at, but after he kills him, they have a bunch of pictures on the wall of people that have met grizzly ears with blunt force trauma to the head. Mm-hmm. Matching the story from last week where the guy said they beat a 16-year-old to death, bashed his head in at Hilltop. So we got a bunch of foreshadowing there. Somebody fucking up people's heads, y'all.
And I think it was maybe to remind us too that these people that they're killing are quote unquote bad people.
Exactly.
Like, look at what they're doing. Like, don't feel too bad for
this. Yeah, it definitely felt that way.
Then they're actually dying in a way that, I mean, does anybody get to die peacefully like that in this world? No.
Right. It definitely felt that way. Like, I was like, oh man, this is some fucked up stuff. And then they cut to that picture and I was like, well, they do beat people's heads in.
they crush them like pumpkins.
Yeah, yes, this is probably better than they deserve.
And then hang them up on the wall like Picasso's.
Right. Yep.
We cut to the car, and in the car, Tara is confessing about her lesbian relationship that she lied in to a priest with a gun, and Jesus in the backseat.
Right.
I love that the priest is like not homophobic, because really, who has time for that in the zombie apocalypse?
It don't matter.
Although low key, if y'all can find this moment on the DVR, Father Gay's face is hilarious when he asked her, was she telling the truth? I don't know why. It just was a funny face. It has nothing to do with anything. It's just, I think it's because they were in such close quarters and he was trying to face her all the way, but they were too close in the car and his face was so worried, and he was just like, and do you love her? And she was like, yes. He was like, okay. And Jesus was like, well, then now you know why you're doing this shit. You got to do it for love. Don't worry about it.
Jesus is the homeboy, okay? Because that's exactly what I imagine Jesus would be saying.
Yep, Jesus is my nigga.
Yes, he is.
I love that video.
Those white people rapped many years ago.
Yes.
I know them people went to heaven.
Like immediately, because everybody looked like they was about to die. Yeah. Anyway, even the cameraman or the engineer, whoever he was.
Jesus Christ is my nigga. Tara did admit that the real issue was that she felt discomfort with Rick's raid plan because she had done something like this before. And I thought this in the first scene was, I wonder if Tara felt uncomfortable because this is the same speech the governor basically gave them, his people.
Right.
But he was lying like shit. But he was like, the people at the prison, they evil. They gonna come kill us. They gonna come take our shit. We gotta get to them before they get to us. And we gonna go attack them. And Rick kind of was on some preemptive strike shit. Let's see. Abe and Sasha were trying to break into a door that was locked. Abe was supposed to be on lookout as Sasha broke into the door, but he spent a little too much time checking out that sweet brown sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the dude brushing his teeth, that happened to be the one dude that woke up there early.
Right.
Right.
He's like, early to bed, early rise, and came out.
Gotta keep my teeth clean in the apocalypse, you know.
Shout out to that dude for immediately jumping into stab a nigga mode, because
right,
he was like, you don't belong here.
Before my coffee, man, you might get me, because that dude immediately went to like, oh, we stabbing people. I was like, oh damn.
He was like, you don't get this knife in this crest.
So they get into a knife fight. Shout out to Sasha for stabbing that dude twice on the low.
She's so awesome. I love her.
She is bae. Everything about her is bae.
I know.
But yeah, Sonequa Martin Green straight up stabbed that dude right in his solar plexus, and as he was dying, he pulled the alarm and it woke everybody up, and people started coming out their rooms with guns. And we had a full-blown shootout.
Yeah, that's when it got lit.
Yeah, it did get lit. Maggie mm-hmm. and Carol have an argument because mm-hmm. Maggie is like, come on, let's run down there and help. And this was the part where I was kind of leaning towards Karen, where I'm like, did she really just do all that shit because at the end of the day, she does worry about Glenn and she's just sick of letting mm-hmm. him out of her sight. And so now
yep.
she's mm-hmm. rushing in to be like, I hope nothing happened to Glenn.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. they do stupid shit like that for each other. And yep.
They do. And they put so many people in danger. They really, really
yes,
do.
Yes. And yeah. I think that's why she won the trip in the first place. She should have stayed her ass in Alexandria.
They forever be like, fuck a plan. What? Let's just, where's
let's
my
just
baby?
Do what we need to do to get back to each other and fuck everybody else.
Right. Like, I thought she had turned a new leaf too when she was in the sewer. And she realized, like, I can't get to him, and I do have a baby, and it is kind of dangerous. You know what? Let me just go back and pray that he can just handle his shit on his own. And nope. She's done with that.
Because I also think that, in my heart of heart, that she really believed he was dead at that period of time.
Yeah.
She was like, he's not coming back, so why am I taking this extra effort?
Well, Tara kept her eye on the prize in the middle of this mission. She said, y'all need to get the homeboy that's the hostage back to Hilltop so we can keep the food deal going.
Yep.
And she said, you know, Jesus, you can't be seen, so you can't go in, but we're gonna go in and help. And Jesus said, he put up his mask and said, I'm gonna go in. And she said, well, if you get spotted, he said, mysterious ways. And
yep. My Lord. That's my Lord right
there. Right. he walked on that water right on in the building. Doesn't. Right.
Yeah, he did that shit, and then his theme music started playing.
We at war.
And he went up in there and got, you know, got his deal on. Aaron killed a dude.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, he told the dude, if it wasn't us, it was gonna be you. I'm like, you already killing him. Just leave it at that.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I want to hear, if you stabbing me to death. Can we just die in silence?
Cause the thing with him, everything started shooting. So everybody, you know, some people got split up. He started running. So he basically ran in there and shut the door.
Didn't even look behind him. Man, he lucky he lived. Anyway, mm-hmm. he stabbed the shit out of that dude.
Yeah, he did.
This was the time that I noticed Negan ain't really have no women or children in this facility.
Right.
And it makes sense.
I mean, okay. So if you have a big group of people, there are women and children. We know this because Daryl got robbed by two women and a dude that were trying to escape Negan. So yes. Negan does have regular, normal ass people in his crew.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I started going, oh shit. Is this just like a military outpost? Is this just like one base? Is this not even the place? Because
that's what it made me think.
There's no women or kids here, and it appears that he does have facilities for women and children. So now I'm like, you know what, how big is this group?
It's like happening a little too easy, like the plan is going a little too according to plan. So it makes you, I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know.
Like, I watched this show called The 100, which I think is a really good sci-fi show, but it's also really, like, it starts kind of slow, but it gets into some really complex, like, foreign policy, war, isolationism type debates, right? And it's all, you know, anyway. So they had this one mission where they were like, we about to take over this facility at this mountaintop, and we're going to kill all these people because they like bombed our people and we want to get revenge and all this. And you're so on their side, like, yeah, kill those motherfuckers, man. They, mm-hmm. you know, they tried to kill y'all. And because you're following that crew, they killed characters that you know and love. Man, they roll up in the mountaintop and they roll into a school. I said, God damn, you can't kill the babies. Like,
aww.
That's how I felt with this, was like, what's the twist? Are they about to roll up in here and then just open up a room and it's like a fucking, a daycare? And it's like,
right.
It's like, well, we can't be stabbing these kids in the head. You know, like, right. I didn't know what it was going to be, what the hook was.
Okay.
And it felt like that with this, was like, I just kept waiting for the hook to be like, something, and it never happens with this raid. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, this can't be everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
And it was only like seven people or eight people.
Yeah. Like, they killed a bunch of people, but then, like, in the head, they stabbed probably, like, I don't know, five, six people. But then they probably killed, like, another eight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, although it was, everybody had automatic weapons, it made it seem like it was a lot. And so, he thinks, Abe falls into a room that is full of weed, it appears.
Cause everybody running, opening doors. This is hilarious. Yep.
Now maybe it was crops, I don't know, but it looked like it was weed. Full of that hydroponic.
It looked like weed. That's the first thing that came to my mind. It looked like some herbs.
I ain't seen
lamps in there and everything.
I ain't seen no vegetables growing off of that shit. Although I don't know why, who getting high in the zombie apocalypse seems like such a bad idea unless you have.
Well, look how doofus their security was at the front door. So it wouldn't surprise me if they be just smoking all day and. True. You know,
Beavis and Butthead probably was getting high.
Right, because Oz, they go like, who really gonna attack us? Because they know who we are connected to.
So Heath and Glenn run into the armory while getting chased by Negan's people, and they pick up a couple guns and shoot through the door, open up the door. Everybody on the other side is dead.
I just want Heath to be like, hell yeah. Like one time.
Hell yeah. That would have been dope.
I would have been there for it. And the thing about it, the two people that you would have thought that would have ran into the broom closet found the gun. That was hilarious. Like, the other people was like, wait a minute, drugs. Wait a minute, broom closet. What the fuck?
Right. The two virgins.
Yep. Right.
The two virgins. So they killed the shit out of everybody. And that pretty much ends the raid because that's, you know, once you get to the armory, kill everybody, you're good. Some people try running away outside. Tara shoots one of them, and Gabe shoots the other one, and the guy, he just wings him, and the guy's laying on the ground, and Gabe walks up in his preacher uniform holding a rifle, and the guy's calling him Padre and shit, and Gabe starts quoting Bible verses to the dude while holding a gun on him. Well, I'm like, okay, this dude is not right. You know, I actually had that clip. Let me see how I play the clip.
What ain't no country I ever heard of? They speak English and what?
What?
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Describe what Marcellus Wallace looks like.
What?
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
He's black.
Go on.
He's bald.
Does he look like a bitch?
What?
Does he look like a bitch?
No!
Then why you try to fuck him like a bitch, Brett?
He didn't.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did, Brett. You tried to fuck him. And Marcellus Wallace don't like to be fucked by anybody except Mrs. Wallace. You read the Bible, Brett?
Yes.
Well, there's this passage I got memorized. Sort of fits this occasion. Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
And that's how that dude died.
I love it. Julius is such a great character. And I love that, going to the movie Pulp Fiction, but I love that John Travolta just stood there quiet like, this his shit, this his thing that he do.
Yeah. He was in the back like, here he go with the here we go, Ezekiel. Let's go.
Here we go. I love it.
He even like lets him warm up a bit and then pulls out his gun like, all right, killing time coming. Getting close to that.
Getting close. It's about that time. We got to go. We got other shit to do.
Yeah, yo, this show made me root for Gabe so hard in this moment.
He was ready.
Because Buddy was like, you know, hey, your blood is coming and y'all gonna regret doing this shit. And he hit him with that, there are many mansions in his father's house. And Buddy was like, I don't know what you're talking about, but y'all about to die. And then he shot his ass and said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. I love this Pastor Gabriel.
Me too. For the first time, I'm like you. I actually started rooting for him because most of the time I was like, you have been terrible. You have turned on the crew. You left Michonne and Carl to die.
Yep.
You turned your
told
back
on them to right. to Deanna, tried to get them kicked out of Alexandria.
Yeah,
right. You've done so much,
and it was just fitting that right after Jesus saves Glenn and Heath by shooting that dude before he could, you know, get the drop on him.
And Jesus came out of nowhere too.
Yeah,
well, you know, that's how you do. Ken.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was right on time.
He was right on time.
There you go. Jesus wants this to happen. He wants you to do this. He right. wants you to go up in there and murk everybody up in there.
So yeah, man. They finally, you know, everybody gets killed. Then they had this little montage thing at the end. Morgan is building what appears to be some iron bars. There's some bricks on the wall. Looks like maybe he's building a cell to house people. We know that cell is kind of where he got his redemption. And he starts crying because Lenny motherfucking James be acting.
Oh, he's so good. And I love your version of his southern accent, whatever kind of accent that is. I don't know what city that's from, but
it's so good.
What region?
It is good.
It's from a city called Oppression. he's so good.
Oppression.
Oh, he my favorite actor on the show, man. And there's so many good actors, but he,
yeah.
Oh, he's so good. I know they didn't even have crying in the script.
Right, you know? They never do. He just brings it all the time.
He's like, you think he would be crying right here? They're like, sure. Oh, well, actually, he's probably like, do you think he'd be crying right here?
And then, yeah, there you go.
Then we start acting. He start crying in southern slang. I don't know how he's so good. But yeah, he started crying and shit. And maybe it's because of the weight of knowing that they out there killing people and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, building a. I saw people that were very opposed to this idea of him building a cell. I think it's a really good idea.
Me too, because that's how Jesus got out and was able to walk around the city.
Right, yeah. Jesus already escaped just the ropes and a cup of water.
Right.
Also, if you look at this as a world-building show, the next level for this show is not all out warfare and vengeance. At some point, it's got to be rehabilitation. It's got to be
right.
You got to have a system. Not every crime in this world can be killing people or sending them outside the walls.
Right.
At some point, they're gonna have to build a system, and it's very forward thinking and it's very optimistic. But I don't have a problem with him building that cell. I feel like they're gonna use it sooner than later.
Probably.
Anyway, and it's. Low key, it's the most optimistic thing anybody's done on the show in a long time. one day we won't have to kill everybody, Rick.
Right, and then, you know, even with the situation with Denise and that wolf, we're so used to people being good or bad.
Right.
And we give Rick and his crew that leeway to be good. We know they're good, but we know they have to do bad things. But everybody else is bad. And for some people, they might be able to change, because really everybody's just out there trying to survive. Somebody has right. People have different ideas about how to do it, but the wolf seemed like he was coming along, and then Carol was like, nah, bitch, you ain't coming with us. Right. So yeah. I know that wolf is not the only guy like that out there.
So it's societal, man. I think you can't build a society without having a place for people to get second chances. And for a lot of people, that's gonna have to be jail or prison with how savage this land is, you know.
And let me just say too, real quick, I love the fact that the SEAL Team 6 coming in there is just regular people there. Michonne is there. You have people who are not warriors, really. Right. Like Glenn hasn't even really killed anybody up to this point, and neither has Heath. But these are just regular people who step up to the plate. Meanwhile, everybody in the compound is like the same kind of thug looking, stereotypical soldier looking buff dude. And they still wipe them out.
That's the thing I always say, man. We forget how deadly they are, because they look like if you were casting a fucking like M&M's commercial. You're like, let's just have a person of every type in the room eating M&M's.
Yeah.
But it's like, what if everybody in the room could also kill you? Like.
Right.
That's how deadly they are. And shit, they could have had a little Fetty Carl out there killing people.
For real? For real. And that's why all of the rules that they tell you about Hollywood, about this type of person is James Bond, or this type of person is the hero, it's bullshit.
Right.
You can write anything that you want. You know why? Because it's make the fucking leave. Yeah. Like, you can make up whatever kind of world, whatever kind of character you want to. Carol is the hardest one on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I love it. And I love, I said this earlier, but all the rules that they tell you about character and character development and what kind of characters Hollywood says people are going to watch or be into or whatever, it's bullshit. It's bullshit.
And the low key, the other thing this show does great, it gives villains, quote unquote, these sympathetic backgrounds sometimes where they go back and look at, like, how did these people get this way?
You see them as human beings. And that's why this show is so good. That's why I love this show, because there was a moment where there were a bunch of zombie shows. And I think there was one on the CW called iZombie. Like, I don't like hacky zombie shows. I don't like, you know, I like, this is real. You feel like it's real life. You feel like these are real people that have to make real decisions. And I absolutely love how serious this show is. It can get funny at times, but this is a drama.
Yes, very much so, man. It's such a great show. And yeah, you know, when they, even Terminus, they gave Terminus a background where they got raped and pillaged and decided this will never happen to us again. We will always be the people that are, like, next motherfuckers come up in here thinking they running shit, we just eating them. And as messed up as that is, they gave them some background. The governor gets some background.
It was heartbreaking.
Shane, you know, like, Shane wasn't just, oh, my evil best friend. Like, it had he had complexity in his own life. He thought he was the hero.
And even Lori, people hated Lori, but I'm like, listen, if you think that your man is dead, you literally have 2 hours to get yourself and your son up out of there, and you think he's dead, I don't blame you for wanting to feel something again on the other side. Yep. I don't blame. If it was a man, everybody would be like, okay, he think his wife is dead. I mean, what he gonna do? He is a man. Like, but people wanted to hold Lori up to that. I don't know what we like to hold women characters up to. It's unrealistic and it's bullshit, but people hated Lori, but she was a human being with flaws. And
in their backstory, they weren't happily married. Like, it wasn't all good anyway, you know?
Right.
All right. So, anyway, the last scene is this dude tries to drive off on Daryl's bike and they shoot him. Daryl runs across the field like he was motherfucking, Von Miller. And his dad dude beats the shit out of him, like, where'd you get that bike? And they get ready to kill the dude, and right as they're about to do it, a walkie talkie that he was holding turns on and tells them to lower their gun. It's a woman's voice. She says, lower your gun, prick. You with the Colt Python, all of you lower your weapons right now.
And right before that, Rick went up to Michonne and he was like, what's wrong? And she was like, I just wonder which one is Negan.
Yes. And they go, and they're like, well, we can work this out. Rick, which is so funny. Rick's like covered in the blood of all these innocent people he killed, quote unquote. You know, sleeping people he killed and shit. And he goes, we can work this out. I'm like, Rick, it's a little too late for working it out. Like, nah, I don't think anyone's going to buy that bullshit.
Right.
We passed that point,
man. Yeah. Right. But he swears they can work it out, and she just needs to come on out. And they said, we got a Carol and a Maggie. Is that something you want to chat about? And that's the end.
My goodness.
It's like, why'd you take your ass out there?
Right. Because if it had been Carol, I was like, oh, Ninja Carol going to get out of this.
Yeah. So, all right. We do have emails, and then we'll wrap it up. And, of course, the emails are brought to you by Belleville. Okay, guys. Mm-hmm. Make sure you guys.
Wait, so I have a question. Mm-hmm. Are we gonna talk about if the woman is Negan or?
Oh, well, okay. Here's the thing. Someone asked me this on Twitter. Like, I wonder if that woman's Negan. The thing is, from the casting news, they said Jeffrey Dean Morgan is gonna be Negan.
Oh,
I think that's his name. Mm-hmm. And it's only because everybody's leaked the casting news. I didn't even want to know about it, but
me neither.
I already knew about it, and then someone, even in that tweet because someone was like, could that woman be me? And I said, yo, on the real, that would be a dope ass idea.
That's what I was thinking, and I don't know if you want to talk about the preview for the next episode.
Yeah.
even the fact that it was just all women surrounding them, oh my God, that would have made it so dope. Because I'm Negan is a man in the comics, I'm assuming, right. But mm-hmm.
But the book and the comics and the show ain't the same, so like they change shit all the time.
Right.
It could have been, you know, like it could have been.
That would have been so dope.
So dope, right? But, you know, like I said, people were so stuck in their ways after hearing that, because they really want to see him be Negan. So people were so stuck in their ways after seeing that casting. People got mad at me for even being like, it would be a good idea. They was like, well, no, because they already cast a guy. And I'm like, I get it, dog. I'm just saying as an idea.
It would have been so dope.
Right. It would have been so dope.
Because they've twisted up things before and bought characters on before that are not in the comic. Right. A lot of people get caught up in if it ain't identical to what I read, fuck it. But to me, I would not watch it if it was identical to the comics. I'm just keeping that real because I don't want to.
And I bet you all of those people are voting for Bernie Sanders, too, with their annoying asses. Yeah, like, probably are.
He was like, she got all the super delegates. I was like, all right, I calm down.
It's going to be all right, baby. All
right. Sasha is Aisha Curry. Okay, I don't want to have a problem. I just want to watch the show. But yeah, man. So before we get into the emails, let me just say Bevel is sponsoring the email segment. Okay, guys. Just go to getbevel.com and use code FREETBGWT and you can get free first month of a subscription to Bevel, which means it comes with a shaving kit, which comes with a razor, it comes with priming oil, it comes with shaving cream, it comes with this balm that you put on after, it makes your skin feel soft and good. And you know, in addition to not having any razor bumps, you'll be looking and smelling good. And you get like a whole little system to shave in the morning, you know, no more putting the so-called white man's razor on your skin. And then you can go out feeling less irritation and, feeling smooth and feeling good. But make sure you do this because it only goes to the first 200 people and it's for brand new memberships. So for people that are, you know, new customers, or new memberships, or put it in your brother's name, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Put free TBGWT is how you get it. It's free TBGWT at getbevel.com. That's GETBEVEL.com. All right, here's our emails. Turk writes in, hey guys, they've been knocking 6B out of the park. They have us hating characters we loved and loving characters we hated. God damn you, Glenn, and god damn you, Maggie. As a woman, I generally don't believe in telling women what to do with their bodies, but Maggie needed to stay her ass at home. She told the governor about the prison when it was just her and Glenn. She's going to be singing like a canary when Negan's crew wants to know about Alexandria save that baby. Damn, I forgot she snitched. Mm-hmm. I would have snitched too, for the record. Ain't nobody that tough.
He was like about to like rape her or something. Right. Like,
ain't nobody that tough. Right. At least not me. Y'all would have been mad. You wouldn't even have to do that. I would have drew him a map.
Yeah, you had the heat on the spotlight could have been too hot. I'd have been tailing on
I'm like, now you're going to want to, now see, if you don't want no traffic, you don't want to take the highway. So.
but I do know this back road to shave off 10 minutes of the trip.
Right. You ain't got to touch me. Anyway, and those, and who's watching Alexandria while the All-Stars are gone? Hold up. People say that. I think y'all are underestimating Carol and Carl.
Come on now.
They got some All-Stars, you know. Carl is an All-Star by himself. He's Steph Curry.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, and about a week or two before, they showed you that the town is willing to fight. Yeah. So mm-hmm. It's not like before where they just came. If something happens before, they're going to have a fight on their hand. They wouldn't have just folded.
And they don't really have much to worry about because it's not like with the Wolves. Negan and them don't know where they're at.
Mm-hmm. Right. So,
although that may be coming to an end after this week.
Yes.
Carl, he's the most capable person they left behind since Morgan ain't been shit since season 3. Speaking of ain't shit niggas, Abraham was wrong for taking the only do-rag in Alexandria. He was rocking a do-rag.
Yes, he was.
Cape waving in the air, just waving, looking luxurious.
He's trying to get Sasha. He's trying to, by any means necessary.
Whatever it takes.
His wave's gonna be spinning. So yeah,
you put some shea butter in there. Carol probably made it going hunting foraging in the woods.
She said that he was wrong for taking that do-rag knowing that Dr. Dre needed it because his hair looks like it hasn't been braided since before the zombie apocalypse started.
had no touch-up.
I cannot with this wig. And then in high definition too, it's right. It's bad.
That's why you need black people doing black people hell.
I don't know what the solution to that shit is. It's bad. Abe is really trying to show Sasha he is down, huh? Abe looked like he only voted for the members of the Tea Party since Obama got elected. Aww. Don't fall for him, girl. Run. He's dark. Okay. Don't fall for him. That's hilarious. But yeah, Abe trying to make the moves, man. Mm-hmm. I wonder when Sasha gonna find out, you know, they broke up.
I don't know.
Cecil Wright says, sup Todd and Karen. Really?
Does he do that all the time?
Everybody does it. I don't know why. They hate me. also, the title of this is They Killing Folks in They Sleep. This episode was pretty intense. Rick and the crew were cleaning the house like a SWAT team mixed with ninjas. For some reason, I thought Glenn killed a person when the people eaters got waxed in the church. Mm-mm. Still don't understand why they keep bringing Maggie along on missions like this. She's pregnant. Where's HR? Carol gonna get caught up in some nonsense because Glenn and Maggie gotta do every damn thing together. Shaking my head. Hopefully they die together. So annoying. Enjoy y'all recaps. Seriously, that's the worst thing about this show, is it makes you a trash human being, because you really do be wishing people die.
Right. Even the baby. They want the baby to die. But it would be just like the show for Glenn to die and then Maggie to have the baby and die and leave the baby. Now everybody else got to take care of that baby.
Woo, that man. Woo, that'll be bad. At least Judith have a playmate.
She sure will. They be gangsters together.
Mm-hmm. They kill a baby on that show. That's the day. It's gonna go crazy.
I don't think that's ever gonna happen. Even when Carol killed Mika, I was like,
right?
Like, you know, because I remember there was a big deal even when they had to do it with Sophia. But that's just how real this show is. It's like, nope, kids can get it too.
That's the Game of Thrones level killing right
there.
Yep.
Oh man, and I can't wait for that damn show to come back. Listen, oh,
I saw the trailer.
Lord. I haven't seen the trailer yet. I've been holding off, but I can't wait for it.
I'm gonna put it on my Twitter after the show. But listen, listen, that trailer, it's about 2.5 minutes. It make you think everybody gonna die. Like, I watched that trailer, and every single character that came on screen, I was like, oh Lord, she dead. She gonna die.
You literally cannot have any kind of faith. You can't love any character. They killed that idea in season one when they killed Ned. Like, I never seen anything. You gonna kill the main character?
Right. What is this?
And then they kept doing it every season, like the Red Wedding. Like, I'm still traumatized from the Red Wedding. Like, I just had to sit there in silence and just pray, because it was so bad.
I have character commitment phobia. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I start liking people, I'd be like, you just gonna kill them. Why y'all making me like, you know, like, I like the imp, but he gonna die. Like, it's just everything that happened, like, y'all gonna kill him.
And then how they did Jon Snow, knowing we love Jon Snow, it wasn't enough that everybody in his damn crew had to stab him, but then you had to make the child, put the final knife in him too.
Fuck that little boy.
For the watch. Listen, I actually was able to avoid that by just rooting against Jon Snow the whole time. Like, I had to protect myself.
That's what you have to do.
He too good. You know what I'm saying? I had, like, as soon as people start being good, it's like Bernie Sanders. I'd be like, he too good to be something wrong.
You shouldn't be playing this game, dog.
Right. I feel like all the super delegates are just lining up with knives, like, for the watch.
Oh man.
Walking Dead feedback from EVE says, greeting Rod and Karen and Reagan, huge fan by the way.
Hi.
This episode of Walking Dead was cold-blooded. A lot of people are saying that Maggie ruined the plan by showing up, but in my opinion, as demonstrated by the wolves, no place is safe in the Z-Pock, and Maggie isn't that far along. She can still handle herself. I've seen pregnant women run marathons. Also, remember when the group took over the prison? Lori was pregnant when they took out those walkers. If sorry ass Lori can help clear the prison, Maggie, who is 10 times better, can handle herself. I will say I agree with everything you just said, as far as her being able to handle her stuff, her own stuff. But let me ask you this. If she wasn't pregnant, there's not no part of you that would be like, these niggas are doing it again. God damn it, Maggie, just stay home. Instead of trying to damn run after Glenn. And I always feel the same way about Glenn too. It's like, y'all gotta do something separate, man. Y'all fucking up the group. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I don't care. They can do anything they want to, but whenever they do, like I said, as soon as she started running when the alarm went on, and she's supposed to be on perimeter watch, I went,
right.
Here we go with the bullshit. Right. The plan goes all the way out the window.
it's going to be interesting to see the further along she gets and the reality that, because so many times, especially if it's your first pregnancy, even though you know you're pregnant, you don't really believe it until you start showing and you start feeling the baby. Like sometimes you don't even believe it until you have the baby. So the further along she gets with her pregnancy, it's going to be interesting how their relationship, what he's willing to go through to get to her even more, what other kind of danger he's willing to put himself in and the group to get her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they both guilty of it though. So yeah. I'll put it that way. I don't, it's not really because she's pregnant, but they both guilty of that.
It just adds on to the stress and the dangerous relationship that they have, that they put other people at risk of, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like now he's really going to be crazy. She's not only is she kidnapped, but she's pregnant and she's kidnapped. So,
right.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know what? I wouldn't have had as much a problem with it if they just switched Carol and Glenn. I wouldn't have had nearly as much a problem. If Glenn and Maggie watched the perimeter together, I don't have nearly as much a problem as Glenn being in the shit and her being outside, knowing that if anything goes wrong, she's abandoning the plan and gonna rush in after Glenn.
Right.
If they're together on the outside and Carol's inside, which who's much more deadlier in my opinion.
Right.
I actually didn't have a problem with that plan.
Oh, like cool, y'all out there being dumb together. Okay, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, it's not
then
even.
Then there wouldn't be no show.
Yeah, true. I mean, it's just, you know what I'm saying. The point being, I don't care that she's pregnant. It's really just, I think they're both stupid.
Yeah.
I think Morgan may have infected Carol with all this All Lives Matter bullshit. Either that or she took Sam's death to heart. She shouldn't feel bad. That kid sucked. I hope that this isn't foreshadowing for her character's death. She has become one of my favorite characters. I really enjoy how the writers develop her story arc. As for Abe, sheesh, the way he dumped Rosita was even more cold than the crew killing all those saviors in their sleep. It was probably extra humiliating for her that Eugene witnessed that. Eugene is about to slide in Rosita's DMs. Hey, man. You got to do like Chris Darden did with Marsha Clark, boy.
Oh, boy. I haven't seen the last episode, but I remember the case. God damn, that's another good show. Jesus Christ.
Listen, Courtney B.
Why
Vance.
Why is there so much good TV? There's so much good TV.
So much, and a lot of it is on break right now because of March Madness.
You know why? Yeah. Diversity.
Yeah, for right.
That's diversity. Why.
Though yes,
all these shows they eventually reach out where they be like, let's put some brown people on the screen, let's put some women on the screen, and the shows be good as hell. Yeah, man,
we have some of their highest ratings.
Courtney B. Vance is shining in that motherfucking OJ.
I'm ready for him to win all of the awards,
all of them.
Trying to tell you, I'm ready for the BET, NAACP, Soul Train. I want him to win all the awards.
Y'all know what starts tonight? Underground.
What's
the
WGN, that's John Legend's show. Yep, I got that on the
DR,
or the PDR, yep.
Show about the Underground Railroad.
Oh. With Journey Smollett about their slaves and they're trying to escape.
My bae is on there. Adina
who,
Porter.
Journey?
Adina Porter, she on there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Y'all might know her as Letty Mae Daniels from True Blood.
Lip acting school.
I love her. I follow her on Twitter.
Because her lips quiver.
She the best. She can act. Like, if y'all ever seen True Blood, watch Letty Mae Daniels' character, then go look up Adina Porter on Twitter and be like, that's acting. Like, she acted to where you like, man, I don't think she's very attractive. Then you look up, you like, god damn, she acting. And then she says, I think Glenn is now officially an impossible white man. You're right. I'm not going to even argue it. And last email. And we'll get out of here on this. Emil says, hey, K-Rod and Reagan, or Miss Gomez to me.
Ooh, all right.
Right? I guess he's nasty. I don't know.
All right.
My wife has an interesting theory. She believes the Hilltop people are the villains, and they've tricked our heroes into taking out a legitimate rival. I don't hold this view because too many things wouldn't add up. What does the crew think about this theory? I think Hilltop's on the up and up.
They ain't got no guns. Mm-hmm.
You know, and Gregory got stabbed for real. That wasn't fake. Mm-hmm. I don't think Hilltop's up on in it. I think, and they gave them half their food. Yeah. Like, I just think Hilltop's in a bad position. They don't have fighters, but they have supplies, which is, you know, they getting fleeced. And Rick's people have fighters, but not as many supplies.
Right.
So this makes a really good partnership.
It's really amazing that groups like the Hilltop still exist this far into the zombie apocalypse. Like, because you would think people like them would be killed immediately, even in their dealings with Negan and how they're getting punked, basically. Like, yep. The fact that Negan hasn't killed everybody up there and taken everything is just, but then Negan's crew doesn't seem to be too bright either, so.
Right. You know what it makes me think is we assume Rick's crew has had the typical zombie upbringing.
Right.
But maybe it's not typical at all. Mm-hmm. You know, which is one of the reasons I like Fear the Walking Dead, is because there has to be other ways to navigate this place. It can't just be this savage everywhere all the time. And there has to be people with other plans, so.
Right.
One thing me and my wife do agree on, though, is that the teen crossed a new line, killing the living as the aggressors. They have only ever killed living people in self-defense, never attacked unprovoked. Even the incursion on the governor was provoked. I think Glenn may suffer the psychological impact the hardest. He may even go full Morgan. On the other hand, the trauma of having his pregnant wife kidnapped may make him snap the other way, making him an unstoppable killing machine. Lastly, remember last week when you said Abraham was trying not to hurt Rosita? Damn, he was cold this week. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in my opinion, I think he still thinks that he did that to not hurt her. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know there's any good way to break up with somebody, to be honest. Especially in the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
But either way, it was going to be bad.
I'm talking about him saying that Glenn might take it the hardest. Like, earlier in the episode, Glenn and Heath had that conversation where Glenn was like, do you ever have, you know, flashbacks when you're eating and stuff? Like, they were basically saying they both have PTSD.
Yep.
And nobody, like, we just assume that you can sleep and everybody's still, but this shit, it's, if you think about it, put yourself in their shoes, you would have post-traumatic stress disorder. Like, it's a lot.
Carol can't sleep.
Yeah.
We assume Carol is the baddest ass on the show, and Carol has a journal of how many people she's killed that she looks at every night. Like, It ain't good, man. Mm-mm. He says, you don't get any worse than when we hooked up. I thought you were the last woman on earth. If he does make it work with Sasha, it would be extremely awkward at the very least in Alexandria. I wonder if the writers will kill her off to pave the way. They have shown that they will make spurious writing decisions for the sake of convenience. I think a lot of you guys have theories like that, and that's not true. I don't think they really have that many decisions that they do for the sake of convenience like that. Cause I don't understand why, like, if I'm a writer, I would love nothing more than to play with the idea of this dude is around his ex with his new girl. Mm-hmm. So I don't think a writer would ever do something like that cause it's convenient, but I think they have a lot of alternatives now, such as maybe Abe and Sasha can go to Hilltop.
Right. Mm.
You know, like maybe they start doing this exchange with this other place. Maybe people can actually go live there and it won't just be our group all the time in the same place, you know. Mm-hmm. The world is spreading,
right?
Or maybe you don't want to see your X-Men, so you go to Hilltop. Right
Ooh. Maybe
As an aside, don't the promos for Fear the Walking Dead get you all riled up? I know I'm pretty excited. I love that in the promos, just like in the first season, the walkers are fresh and still kind of look like normal living people compared to the extremely rotted walking carcasses in the main show. Mm-hmm. Fear the Walking Dead starts April 10th, while Game of Thrones starts April 24th. There will be overlap. Have you decided how you handle that conflict? The world needs to know.
Thanks for the great recap. Yeah, they're both going to be on Sunday, right?
Yep. I'm going to tell you right now, them Thrones supersedes
Yeah, it really does.
Cause do they come on at the same time?
Well, he just said they'll overlap. April 10th is Fear the Walking Dead. April 24th is Them Thrones.
Oh yeah, we're covering Them Thrones. Like,
yeah, we'll be covering Them Thrones.
Yeah, we'll start watching Fear the Walking Dead, but we won't recap it. We're gonna recap Game of Thrones, and then I guess when it restarts back in the fall, we'll pick it back up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So, what are you guys looking forward to next week? Coming up, Karen.
I want to know who that woman is.
All right. Reagan?
Yeah, I do too. I want to know who that woman is, and I want to know who those women are that have Carol and Maggie. I want to see, where is Negan? Because we have not heard his voice. Who is this woman to him? Because it seems like she is she's one of his lieutenants or something, because she's, you know, leadership, making demands and stuff. So I want to know who she is.
All right. And go ahead, Karen.
And also, and maybe this is just me, I think when that dude set that alarm off, because it was loud enough for that, for everybody to hear. I guarantee you that alarm alerted this group, and who knows how far away this other location was, or they may have been out on a run, heard it, and came back and ran up on them.
Maybe it alerted some zombies too.
That's right, yeah. Because it was so loud.
I will say this though, my big thing is I feel like a culling is coming. Because everybody keeps talking about what person's going to die. I feel like a bunch of people going to die.
I feel like it too. I really do. I feel like a bunch of people going to go.
The crew getting, it's a lot of people in the crew now. And we're starting, and also some of these actors are getting work elsewhere, which is always
a sign.
It's like, oh man, that's good that Chad got that job on Sci-Fi. Wait a minute. So, you know, some of these people got to die. And I feel like, for the weight of what they have done, the line that they've crossed, and who they're messing with, and how easy everything's gone,
right?
Something like a huge setback has to happen. I think multiple people are gonna die. Like, not everybody keeps talking like this person's gonna die. What if they kill that person? I think a few of our faves are about to get it. So
I think it's about to be another Red Wedding episode.
And I don't know which week it's gonna be, because every week they show a preview, and I'll be thinking like, okay, that's gonna be the story arc, and then we get there and it'd be even crazier than what I thought it could be.
Right.
Yep.
So I don't know. They just gonna have an episode where it's like, next week it looks like the clip is just them tying their shoes, and then everybody gonna die.
Everybody dead. Yep.
Make sure y'all check out Reaganomics.
Very good show, y'all.
It's a great podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you guys enjoyed. If you enjoy our show, I know y'all enjoy that show.
Yep.
Yes, we are on SoundCloud and iTunes. We are going to be spreading to other podcast apps as well. We're still trying to get it together.
And I don't know if you know this, but you guys are on several other apps. I listen to y'all on RSS Radio. So,
oh really?
Yeah. Okay. A lot of podcast apps. If you're on iTunes, they just kind of takes care of itself.
Oh, dope. Okay.
So, but man, make sure y'all listen to him, because like I said, very good show. And follow her on Twitter, man. I feel like y'all should already be doing it if you're not.
Great follow.
But she's at Reagan Gomez, and you know, we'll have it all in the show notes. So, thank you so much, Reagan. We really do appreciate you spending this time with us. I know it went long.
Thank you so much.
No problem. You have a great, rest of the day. Chat room.
And real quick, make sure you guys check out my zombie show, Surviving. I have a zombie show called Surviving that is on YouTube. It's my YouTube channel. It's YouTube/Reagan Gomez and ReaganGomez.com. We have the whole first season up there. Our show has been nominated for actually 5 awards at the LA Web Fest, which is the biggest web series festival. We were nominated for Best Actress, Best Cinematographer, Best Director.
Oh, shit.
Yes, Best Supporting Actor and Best Cinematography. So that is happening in April. I'll keep you guys updated with how we do. And we're trying to make it happen for season 2. So I'm over here trying to work, y'all.
And first season is good.
That's the TBGWT bump, guys.
Woo-hoo.
Okay. We take all the credit for what these brilliant people go out and do after they come on the show.
You did it for Reign of April, okay?
You know what I mean? Hey, we shut the Oscars down. You know what I mean?
Their ratings failed.
I seen it.
All right, guys. We'll be back Saturday for feedback, Friday for Ball Z Sports. Until then, love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.